hour, and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Yeah. Good morning, geniuses.
Philosopher kings and queens, hipsters of all sorts, regular people, the working people, and of course, liberal haters, my favorites. The ones that define what we should all be doing.
Oh, I thought you meant people who hate liberals. You're talking about liberals who hate.
Yes.
Yes.
People who hate liberals are just limited in their thinking, and that makes them not liberal. There's nothing we can do about that. Good morning to you, Mark Riley.
Good morning to you, Mark Maron.
Kalo, how are you? How was the birthday last night? Were you given any gifts?
Yeah, I was given a lot of gifts, actually.
What'd you get?
I got a couple $100 gift certificates to Urban Outfitters and Gap.
Nice.
Yeah,
so,
good stuff.
That's good, so you can look like everybody else.
Exactly. And I got some loving.
Oh!
That's right.
Listen to us, we're a bunch of boys. Really? Well, at the break, we'll go into that. But now, because we have a lot of people to accommodate who might not necessarily want to hear about your loving, Chris. No, not in a bad way. But, you know, there are people out there that are like, maybe that's best not talked about in this particular channel. Meanwhile, I was on Tough Crowd last night. Had a good time. It was nice to see Scott Thompson, Sarah Silverman, Greg Giraldo. It was a nice show. It was pleasant. There were no haters. There were no bullies. Everybody got fair play. Had some good yucks. It was a nice time all around.
This is what I hear. I heard it went very smoothly.
Yeah, it was fun. And today, I'm just giving the update on me, and then we'll get into the news, because there is stuff happening with the end of the world and whatnot. But,
First things first,
the cats, like, I'm having another crisis. Not a crisis, but these cats are starting to get comfortable in my house. Like, they're hanging out, you know, they're hanging out on the couch, or, you know, coming into my office, or poking around. I'm about to belch, but I don't want to do it on the mic, because that would be rude, wouldn't it? Excuse me. All right, we're through it.
All right.
Oh, man, I'm glad we all got through that as a population. I'd like to say hi to our new affiliate in Asheville, North Carolina, the Revolution Progressive Talk, 880 AM WPEK. Good morning to you. Welcome aboard. Here we go.
All right.
I'd like to introduce you to our some people. This is Mark Riley.
Good morning.
That's Chris Kalo, we call him, on the board. Smarty Pants Larson in the booth. Brendan P.W. McDonald, recently engaged, hence P.W., Dan Pashman, son of Lewis, and Linda Pashman of New Jersey is in the other room, compulsively looking for news items so he can go in and say, "Do you guys see this? Yahtzee!" Anyways, just so you know, everybody. Now, I've got four cats that are unnamed at this point to limit my attachment to them if one were to die or I have to give them away. But I am getting partial to a couple of them. So, meanwhile, they're all kind of wandering around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me, Mark, because I got a woman coming today, the only woman that has reached out and said she would help me out of the network of people that I got in touch with about this, is coming over to inoculate the cats, to deworm the cats in my house, and also to give me a large cage to put the cats in order to sort of get them used to me. Because apparently with feral cats, they'll wander around, they'll all get comfortable, but they're going to continue to be afraid of me. And it's really disheartening because, like, I'm like, oh, look at that. Hey, where you going?
Oh, I got a question.
Yeah.
Are you going to be there for the inoculations and the deworming?
It's going to be a very stressful day for me because I can't. I'm such a wuss when it comes to the cats because, like, now I'm thinking, like, but they're all getting so comfortable, you know, and now I'm going to put them in this cage so I can start to touch them and socialize them because the deal is I got to get rid of two of these things. No one's going to take them if they're wild. So I'm going to go ahead and try and do the work to socialize them a bit. And apparently I asked a vet yesterday at the cat place. There's a cat place where I work out in one of the other floors. And I said, look, you know, they're like 10 weeks old. With the caging, is it going to screw them up because they're all getting comfortable? They're going to freak them out more? He said, no, you got a shot at it. If you put them in a cage, you can start to touch them as long as there's a shelf in the cage and they can have toys in there. And the idea with that is they can't run away because now they've got this couch thing. There's like a lump of cats under my couch at all times. There's four cats under there. And now if I put them in the cage, I can start to reach in and try and pet them and force them to sort of trust me.
I got another question.
Oh, I don't know if I can answer it.
The stuff that you got yesterday, the cat box.
Yeah.
Have you used any of that stuff yet? Does it work?
Oh, yeah. Chris Renee, one of our bloggers and a big fan of the show, sent me some stuff. The catnip that got all wasted on catnip yesterday. It was hilarious. Yeah, the toys are digging. I haven't pulled the bed out because I'm afraid they're just going to pee on it. So maybe I'll put the bed in the cage when I get the cage. But all the toys are digging, and the catnip's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, like the orange cat got all high. I think I'm going to call him Strummer. One of the bloggers sent in a few good names, and one said to name him after Joe Strummer.
Joe Strummer, okay.
So I like Strummer. But the catnip's hilarious because they get high and they get all excited. And, like, you know, when I came home, I couldn't understand what was wrong with the orange cat because he was on the couch. He was just looking at me going, like showing his teeth but not hissing, just sort of, like, smiling and acting all weird. I'm like, what's up? Oh, you're high. I forgot that you're high. Strummer, the high cat.
Uh-oh.
But anyways, enough of this sort of, like, cuteness. You know, the truth of the matter is, I'm nervous about today because they're going to be freaked out. And this woman says she's helped over 250 cats. She's a real saint. She's going to retire from the business because she doesn't feel like anybody cares in the city.
She's become jaded in the rescue of cats.
Yeah, like, you know, like cops become jaded with crime.
Yeah.
It's like, it's never going to stop. We might as well just, you know...
Well, you know, cats, they're everywhere. They're in New York, they're all over the place. And a lot of people, I'll tell you what, a lot of folks in New York City in particular will take cats because if they have any kind of a mouth problem,
yeah,
they figure a cat is an easy, cheap way to take care of it.
But she says, look, man, I'm like, you know, because a lot of times you don't see cats, and they're not unlike any other animal that lives wild after a while. They go unseen. But she says anywhere in New York City, if you put a cat trap out, you'll catch like 10 cats.
No
doubt.
They're
just all over the place, and they're hidden, and they're hiding, and thousands of dogs and cats get killed, you know, weekly almost because people don't neuter their animals. And this is the whole thing with me, is that... You got to take care of these animals. I mean, there's all these people in the back of the house. The only reason I took these cats in is there's 5 kittens eating out of my garbage, and there's a mother back there, and no one's doing anything about it but feeding them because they're like, we're helping, we're feeding. You're not helping anything. You know, if you want to help, you got to trap them, get them fixed, and then put them back out. Because, you know, if you just feed them, it's not helping anything. And so, of course, me, you know, Mr. Altruism, not. When was the last time you heard someone say not? Wow. That's a little retro. How long ago was it? Where did that come from?
Late 90s.
Right. All right. So, you know, so, well, like I said before, I am happy I helped the cats, and I'm happy this woman's coming over, but I have a traumatic day ahead of me. But not as traumatic as I'm not campaigning for anything other than for the cat's love. Mm-hmm. How's that for a segue?
There you go.
On the campaign trail, it looks like they're starting to get into it, huh, Mark?
Well, what they're doing is switching gears, both Bush and Kerry are switching away from national security, away from the war on terror, away from Iraq. They're switching now toward domestic issues, specifically health care and the lapse at midnight to last night of the assault weapons ban.
And I think they're slowly also shifting away from the whole Vietnam vet Air National Guard thing because it almost seems to me like there was a stalemate there. I mean, even with the Swift boat stuff and all those, you know, horrendous attacks and slander on Kerry's, you know, character, mm-hmm. you know, the sort of resuscitation of the Air National Guard story and these memos that came out, which I really don't believe were a hoax, and there's going to be this tit-for-tat, you know, back and forth about, hey, you know, our handwriting experts say this, your handwriting experts say that. But the bottom line, it's like I said on Tough Crowd last night, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Of course it's a hoax. It doesn't make sense, right? A privileged kid, you know, his father gets him into Yale. He's got a drinking and drug problem. His father's friend admits to getting him into the Air National Guard. He doesn't show up for service in Alabama or Boston. I mean, the whole idea that his commanding officer would write a memo saying he's uncomfortable for covering for this kid and he's going to suspend him just is so out of character. It just doesn't fit the line of facts, does it, Riley?
No.
Another Democrat hoax like global warming, you know, and stem cell research and that the deficit is bad. You know, I mean, the truth is a hoax to these guys.
Wait a minute. How do they let Democrats so close to National Guard records to forge them in the first place? That's, you know,
forgeries, they were set up. Look, Karl Rove has done this before. He did it in a campaign that he was working on in Texas where he installed a bug in his own office, called his guy, an FBI guy who was one of his stooges, to come in, take the bug out, and say that it was the Democratic challenges.
See, I said this to Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, yesterday. He shot me down. I said I wouldn't have put it past the Republicans to afford the documents in the first place.
Right.
And then to affirm, because what it does is take Bush's National Guard service off the table, at least temporarily. Dan Pashman said, oh, no, that couldn't happen that way. See, I don't put anything past people, but particularly this group of people.
And it's the same Dan Pashman that told us yesterday that he was redoing some reading on Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And that Cheney basically, over the history of his political career, and even in college, was incapable of empathy, did not care about people around him, would do anything political to contain and continue to be in power, to the point where, you know, if you see the evolution of Dick Cheney, there is nothing that is not fair game in terms of winning and holding on to power, to the point where it's completely evil. But we'll talk about it after the break, where the campaign's going.
Yes.
And we've got some Kerry talking, we've got some Bush talking, we've got health care. They're really starting to go at the real issues. And Kerry, you know, we've got new polls. You know, it's really not as bad as anyone assumed.
There goes that bounce.
And that's right. So we'll talk about that on Air America when we come back.
While the battle for same-sex marriage rights continues to play out on television and in courtrooms, 40% of Fortune 500 companies have quietly begun offering health benefits to gay couples. According to the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, 68% of the country's top 50 firms provide such coverage. That number is likely to increase as two new laws in California will mandate all insurance plans to be required by law to offer domestic partners and married couples the same benefits. That was a Workers Independent News Service Dow Bob report. I'm Jesse Russell.
This Dow Bob report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
I love you, I love you. I've waited so long for this moment. It's finally just you and me. Oh.
Jeff, oh, what are you doing with that Super Bowl?
It's all about the passion, and the wait's over. The race for the Super Bowl champ is right here on Sirius. Get every game, every week, everywhere. Plus, the biggest names in NFL history. Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Dan Reeves have joined the Sirius Club with their own shows. NFL Talk, 24-7 on Sirius NFL Radio, 124.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there. Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound thruway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized belly in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry. I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd, and a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Soon, all over-the-counter medicines will have one thing in common: simplicity. That's because all over-the-counter medicines will feature new, easier-to-read labels that clearly show their ingredients, uses, warnings, and directions. Because if there's one symptom we all want to relieve, it's confusion. For more information, call the Food and Drug Administration at 1-888-INFO-FDA. That's 1-888-INFO-FDA. The new label. It's clearly better.
Yeah, here we go. 20 past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. The fifth kitten is still out in the backyard with its mother.
Uh-oh.
And the woman who's coming today thinks she's going to catch that kitten. This is turning into a life's work. I am Mother Teresa Mark of the kitten world. All right, so let's do this. Let's get into this. There's the health care issue is starting to, you know, really sort of take hold with both of these guys. And Bush, you know, what do you got on this, Riley?
All right, here's what's going on. All of the polling no matter where it stands on the margin between Bush and Kerry in a head-to-head race or whatever, shows that Kerry has a decided edge over Bush in terms of America's perception of whether or not they can fix what's wrong with the nation's health care system. And most Americans, an overwhelming majority of Americans, believe something is wrong with the system.
Could that have something to do with the fact that there are 43 million uninsured Americans? Maybe that's part of the problem?
But see, it's not just the uninsured Americans that think something's wrong.
Yeah.
When you got to go to the drugstore and pay $10 a pop for a medicine that you really, really need.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the system. You may have coverage, but the fact is it doesn't cover everything. In many instances, people are watching their health care premiums just, like, skyrocket.
$10 is pretty low. I mean, usually you got to go and pay, like, $60 or $70. You'd be paying $10 in Canada.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, you're looking at situations, and you know, in some cases, for a poor retiree, $10 is a deal breaker.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Okay.
Where you got to decide between that $10 going to food for the week,
right,
or whether or not you're going to spend it on medicines you need to keep breathing.
Right.
I mean, it really comes down to those kinds of very stark choices for people.
And it turns out that all this Medicaid revamping that the Bush administration did not lower costs. It elevated costs, and it was a guaranteed kickback to the pharmaceutical industries because they can set the prices.
You nailed it. It is exactly all that. And now the Bush administration, of course, is head over heels happy about the fact that federal health care for federal employees is only going up 8%.
Yeah.
Now, you know, after years of double-digit increases, 8% sounds great, right?
Right.
But ask yourself if these same federal employees are going to get an 8% annual increase in their wages to cover the cost of this 8%. The answer is, of course, not.
No.
These federal employees, if they're unionized, are getting wages like 2, 3% a year.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes they zero out.
Right.
So, obviously, there is a health care crisis, and there are two, John Kerry and George W. Bush have come up with two very different ways to deal with it. George W. Bush deals with the private sector. And, when you talk about health care and George W. Bush, everything is pushed, like with Social Security, pushed toward the private sector under the guise of giving people more options in terms of how to choose their health care. His plan is based on the notion that if individual consumers are cost conscious, it will drive down the cost of care for everyone.
But this is a lie, because what he's doing is he's giving you the opportunity, if that, to choose an HMO or to have your company choose an HMO, which in a lot of respects limits your ability to get care. HMOs are they're private corporations.
Yes.
They're designed to make money. They operate at a sort of, you know, permanent, they're sort of a persistent triage level. In order to get, in order to get treatment for some ailments, you know, in an HMO, it's got to go through their board. It's got to be, you know, they've got to crunch the numbers on it. They don't even ask doctors' opinions of it. There are certain things that they, on policy, will only treat a certain way. And if you want other treatment, you have to go to another doctor. You have to go out of house. You got to go out of pocket.
And you foot the entire cost in many cases. You go out of network, is I guess what they call it.
Right.
We just had a presentation here the other day.
Yeah.
You go out of network, you pay. You pay through the nose. And in many instances, the biggest and most stinging accusation against HMOs is simply that they don't treat patients as people, they treat them as numbers, and they treat them as dollars.
Dude, if we got my dad on the line right now, he would, you know, my father is so bitter about HMOs because he's a surgeon, you know, he's a retired surgeon. He feels like he was almost forced out by HMOs because he had a reputation, and you have to play along with the HMOs. And this is the horrendous thing to doctors, is doctors are specialists. They need to be able to make certain decisions on a patient-to-patient basis that they can rely on their wisdom and their experience to treat the patient appropriately. Now you've got basically insurance companies making decisions for doctors based on the bottom line, denying them the ability to give the treatment that they think is appropriate, you know, under the guise of what? Of you know, we can make decisions like this. Some doctors are greedy. It's all a bunch of, there's a lot of lies. Granted, there are some greedy doctors, but there are plenty of doctors out there that just want to do their job properly and are not allowed to because of HMOs.
Well, what what they do is sit up and say, okay, this is what it should cost. This is how long you should stay for a certain covered illness. You stay 24 hours past the time they say you should be out,
yeah,
you pay.
Yeah, you got to leave. But I'm still bleeding. I'm sorry. Yeah, we only allow 3 days.
You got to go.
But my stitches are still... I'm sorry. If you want to pay extra, we can keep you. Like, oh, my God.
And how much does it cost? $450,000 a day. I'm exaggerating, obviously.
That's without meals.
Yeah,
exactly. Boom.
I mean, look, this is what we're talking about,
yeah.
And this is what makes for some very, very clear differences in the way people would be treated under Bush's plan and under Kerry's plan. Bush's, the best thing that Bush says or can say about Kerry's plan is his cost.
Yeah.
It's going to cost trillions of dollars. Of course, Bush, when he ran all of his programs down at the Republican National Convention, did not put a price tag on all of his plans
right.
for America during the next 4 years. But we'll get to that in a minute. At the same time, Bush is hammering at Kerry on health care. Kerry is hammering Bush over this assault weapons ban that just expired at midnight last night.
Sure.
Saying essentially, John Kerry, that the lapse of this ban is going to make it easier for terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda to get guns. Let's hear John Kerry in the nation's capital yesterday.
George Bush chose to make the job of terrorists easier and make the job of America's police officers harder, and that's just plain wrong.
I don't think you can argue with that.
And this is a guy that's been solid on this. Kerry has been solid on this. Kerry voted against the first President Bush's attempt to remove restrictions on the manufacture and sale of semi-automatic weapons. I mean, this is one of Kerry's principal, he believes in this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he's right to do so. You know, because George Bush is pandering to the NRA, and he is going against the idea that he's actually fighting terrorism.
Now, here's the thing that I don't understand, Mark. This assault weapons ban was supported by virtually every police chief in America. Yet George W. Bush, by his inaction, allowed the ban to lapse. At the same time, he cut the program called the COPS program, which was implemented by Bill Clinton, which resulted in the hiring of 100,000 new police officers
yep.
nationwide. He gutted the program,
yep.
so there's no new cops.
Yeah.
So how is George W. Bush a friend of law enforcement?
Yeah,
how do you run on it?
Dig this. A May 2003 report by the Congressional Research Service, they quote, foreign terrorists could exploit and appear to have exploited in limited cases the general availability of firearms in the United States to carry out terrorist attacks, end quote. The report says terrorist operatives from Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda have purchased guns at U.S. gun shows and that one attempted to set up a firearms training camp for Al-Qaeda in Oregon. It also says an Al-Qaeda training manual found in Afghanistan encouraged followers to, quote, train for jihad, end quote, at U.S. firing ranges. The report detailed nearly a dozen loopholes or gaps in federal firearm laws that terrorists could exploit. So, in essence, he's pandering to the NRA and helping the terrorists, George Bush.
Unbelievable. Pro-law enforcement? Yeah, right.
So we got more on Iraq coming up, and later in the hour we'll finish this discussion about health care and about other issues in the campaign after this on Air America Radio.
A bad vocabulary can sink you socially and professionally more quickly than bad breath. I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Million Dollar Vocabulary. If you fumble for the right words or use the wrong words, people make judgments about your background, your education, even your intelligence. Now, you can add hundreds of words to your vocabulary with Million Dollar Vocabulary, the cutting-edge learning system that teaches you how to lock words and their meanings into your memory so you can use them instantly and recall them for years. I can help you add hundreds of powerful words to your vocabulary, including words that are crucial for business success. It's fast, fun, and easy. You'll be amazed at the words you can use after 1 hour with Million Dollar Vocabulary.
Try Million Dollar Vocabulary risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-458-0599. 1-800-458-0599. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-458-0599.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. A car bomb exploded near a police station in Baghdad early today. As dozens of Iraqis were applying for work, at least 47 people were killed and 114 wounded, according to a health ministry spokesman. Blast left a gaping 10-foot crater outside the station. Saboteurs blew up a junction where multiple oil pipelines crossed the Tigris River in northern Iraq, sending plumes of smoke into the sky today. U.S. military officials say it could take up to 3 days to fix the leak spawned by the blast. John Kerry's blasting President Bush for being soft on crime and terror by letting the assault weapons ban expire, bowing to pressure from the gun lobby. Many law enforcement figures across the country and elected officials criticized the president for letting the 10-year ban expire. And Russian President Vladimir Putin is calling for a major overhaul of the nation's political system. In a bid to unite the country, Putin contends divisions in the political system is leaving the nation vulnerable to terror. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
I love you, I love you. I've waited so long for this moment. It's finally just you and me.
Jeff, what are you doing with that basketball?
It's all about the passion, and the wait's over. The race for the Super Bowl champ is right here on Sirius. Get every game, every week, everywhere. Plus, the biggest names in NFL history. Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Dan Reeves have joined the Sirius Club with their own shows. NFL Talk, 24-7 on Sirius NFL Radio, 124.
This is Earth and Sky on that scourge of many a beach outing, jellyfish.
Jellyfish live in nearly all the world's oceans, and they come in all sizes, from smaller than the head of a pin to as wide as about 2.5 meters. That's about 8 feet in diameter. The body of a common jellyfish, called a moon jellyfish, is about as big as a dinner plate.
A jellyfish isn't really a fish. It's an invertebrate made of 95% water, a little protein, fat, and salt. A jellyfish has no brain, heart, lungs, or gills. It absorbs oxygen directly from the water. Its circular body is made up of two thin layers of cells. A mouth opening in the center of its body leads to a hollow gut surrounded by dangling tentacles, and it's those tentacles you need to avoid. They can give you a nasty sting. The tentacles of some jellyfish dangle down 30 meters, or about 100 feet.
Many jellyfish are active swimmers, but most aren't strong enough to swim against a current. Storms and strong currents can wash them up on the beach. But those motionless blobs of jelly can still be trouble, because the stinging cells of jellyfish are independent of the creature's nervous system. They can fire even when a tentacle has been separated from the animal, or if the animal is dead.
And that's our show for today. We hope you'll visit our website at earthsky.org. Our show is made possible by the National Science Foundation. I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky.
It's 33 past the hour. It is morning time. It is morning sedition. I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
You.
Wow, there's a lot of stuff to talk about with that campaign stuff, the health care stuff. To get into the nitty-gritty of it, it takes some thorough conversation, Mark Riley. And we're going to get back to that later in the hour.
Yes, we shall.
Right now, Ramon just came in. He looks like he went to the gym this morning. I don't know how that's possible. But he was like in sweats. He had I don't know what that guy is up to, and I don't know how he gets this
24-hour gym.
Yeah, I guess, but I just don't know how he gets the presidential palm pilot when he's here. I'm starting to think that maybe. Anyways, here's the president's schedule for today: 8:00 a.m. Wake up, stay on message. Everything is going great in Vietnam. Iraq. Damn. 8:45 a.m. Speak at rally in Greenwood Village, Colorado. At Coors Amphitheater. Avoid mentioning that 8:45 a.m. used to be my favorite time for a Coors. 9:30 a.m. Secret visit to Coors Brewery. Ask if I can float in a vat just for old time's sake. Avoid swallowing. 10 a.m. Call AA sponsor just in case. That's me, isn't it? 11 a.m. Quick lunch of beer battered shrimp. That doesn't count, does it? 12:10 p.m. Address General Conference of the National Guard in Las Vegas. Check the Vegas line on how many people were betting I wouldn't show up. 2 p.m., leaving Las Vegas. Try to think of an in-flight movie to ask for. Yeah. 5 p.m., give the twins surprise gift from Trip. Novelty Coors beer can hats. You remember those? Yeah, with the little macrame. They're kind of stitchy. 10 p.m., lights out. Sweet dreams of Coors beer. Make sure AA sponsor is on speed dial. That's me, right? We're going to sponsor him later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the phone, I mean, Iraq out of control, the U.S. airstrikes, there was U.S. airstrikes in, I believe, was it Baghdad? Baghdad, yeah, where they killed like 20 people. It's an interesting report they have. One strike, and this is in the same paragraph, quickly. One strike hit an ambulance as it sped away with wounded, a hospital official said. The U.S. military said innocent lives were spared. So what does that mean?
Early on, you got me.
Yeah, but, you know, and then it's like witnesses said one explosion went off in a market as sellers were setting up their stalls, wounding several people and shattering windows. An ambulance was struck while rushing from the area, killing the paramedic driver and five wounded patients. I guess it was an insurgent paramedic driver if they were not injuring innocents. But it's, you know, people are dying every day. It's nasty. And car bombs at a police station killed 25 people.
47.
47
the total
now?
Is up to 47.
Oh, my God. Now, do they have responsibility on that?
They are. I'm not sure that Zarqawi's people are saying that he actually was involved in this. This
we'll
is part
me.
Of an ongoing situation
sure.
to keep Iraqis from joining the military and the police department.
And I might add that the airstrike is supposedly successful, and it was targeted at Zarqawi's people.
Yeah.
On the phone, we have from Baghdad, Newsweek magazine's Baghdad correspondent, Babak Deganpeshe. Good morning, Babak.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So you've been, there's a lot of violence going on in the streets of Baghdad right now in the last 3 days. What's the scene there, Babak?
It has been a grim few days. Starting out with Sunday, there was heavy fighting in the center of the city. This street, which has been problematic for a couple of months now, called Haifa Street, which a lot of the Sunni insurgents seem to have infiltrated and sort of linked up with other, you know, other insurgent cells, possibly here in Baghdad itself. So that was a scene of heavy fighting. And then again today, as you just mentioned, there was a large car bomb at a police station. The target there was a number of Iraqi police recruits, and that police station is actually just off the end of that Haifa Street. So that has, in effect, become one of the deadliest areas in Baghdad right now.
And this is in Baghdad, and U.S. forces have ceded entire cities to the insurgents, like Fallujah, and now, you know, in Ar-Ramadi and some of the other places in the Sunni Triangle. Do Iraqis feel that we have lost control of the country?
Well, it's hard to say. Certainly, it's all, you know, it's they're not good developments. As you mentioned, you know, Fallujah, Baquba, Ramadi, to some extent the city of Samarra, which seems to be going back and forth between U.S. and insurgent control. And now, again, you know, parts of Baghdad itself. I mean, there was already problems in the Shiite areas of Baghdad and Sadr City, and now that, you know, you have this area that the problems are being blamed on Sunni insurgents. I mean, collectively, it's not painting a very positive picture.
Mm-hmm. But Babak, there is a report here in the States. I don't know if you're aware of it in Iraq, but the Bush administration is planning today to propose moving almost $3.5 billion from Iraq water projects, power projects, other reconstruction projects to improve security. How would that play on the ground in Iraq?
Well, I think it would play out very well, actually. I think that was an initiative that may have been spearheaded, at least, you know, the previous reports on this have been that was spearheaded by Mr. Negroponte, the American ambassador here. So, you know, if he is here on the ground and sees that as the priority, well, you know, then it's obvious that, you know, even they're being alarmed at the level of violence here. And, you know, for Iraqis, actually, that is the number one priority, is security, you know, before you can have any sort of reconstruction, before, you know, you can start, again, rebuilding, you know, electrical infrastructure or schools or bridges and things like that, you have to bring this insurgency under control.
I'd like to ask you about the condition of the water and the reconstruction projects and sewage situations and all these necessary public works when we come back in just a second here on Air America Radio.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sports boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome.
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool.
Oh!
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson Dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun!
Boy, we're prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good. Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Sirius. It's on.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
Got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Hey, kid, are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never ask. They'll never know the E is used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins, or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
If you're over 35, your bones and joints aren't what they used to be, and exercising only on weekends puts them at great risk of injury. The good news is you can reduce that risk by exercising at least 30 minutes every day. Always stretch and warm up for several minutes before any exercising session, and wear appropriate shoes and safety gear. Brought to you by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
Got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Smoke-free and free is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of smoke-free and free at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next two cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
We're back at 42 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's morning's edition on Air America Radio. We're talking to Newsweek magazine's Baghdad correspondent, who is in Baghdad, Bob Beck. Dagan Pache is on the phone. We were talking about infrastructure, about money being refunneled into security over infrastructure. Babak, is the infrastructure, how dire is the situation in certain areas with in terms of water, sewage, infrastructure destruction? How much is that leading people to resist American efforts and making them more angry in some areas?
Well, I think that does feed into it. Some of the American military officials that I've spoken to here in recent months definitely, they sort of peg times where, let's say in Baghdad, where the electricity is a low output, to increases in attacks. So, it all does go hand in hand. If you don't get to, reconstruct these, let's say, the water treatment plants or the electrical infrastructure, you're basically pissing more people off who are, joining the fight against the U.S. But at the same time, it's sort of a catch-22 because all of these insurgents are also sabotaging this infrastructure and making it harder for the U.S. to reconstruct those places. So, it's really a very difficult situation. I mean, the American companies are trying very hard to push ahead, but again, the level of insecurity is really derailing a lot of the efforts.
But back to talking about catch-22s, it seems as though the United States has had as a goal in Iraq to get Iraqis to actually involve themselves more directly in their own security. Given these car bombings, and this is just the latest in a series of these kinds of car bombings that take place near either police or military recruitment facilities, How have they had, what effect have they had? Have they had the desired effect on the part of the terrorists?
Actually, no. You know, it's surprising, but the number of, you know, there's still quite a few eager recruits, both for the Iraqi police, well, for the Iraqi National Guard and other Iraqi security services. And part of that is because, really, you know, the economy hasn't got back on its feet. The people just need to find, you know, a way to make themselves, you know, to make a living and survive. So, no, it hasn't really, you know, pushed people away from going to, you know, to recruiting stations and signing up for police. But I guess the questionable thing is, you know, what are the quality of these recruits that are coming out? It just seems like the focus has been a lot on increasing the number of the Iraqi security forces without adequate training. And, you know, the one recent example was down in Najaf during the recent conflict about a month ago. Police opened fire on crowds of protesters and killed several civilians. So, again, it's not that the Iraqi people, the Iraqi recruits are not showing up, but really the way they're getting processed through the system rather quickly may not be having the desired effects. I mean, you know, again, it's that's not a good situation either.
Is there any indication that there are insurgents planted within the Iraqi police forces at all? Is any of that going on, infiltration?
It's possible, yes. You know, there's a number of attacks that have happened with individuals wearing Iraqi police uniforms, whether those, you know, uniforms were stolen, whether, you know, those were police who were somehow cooperating with insurgents at the time of the attack. It's difficult to say, but certainly there is some level of that going on.
But, Mark, there are people, obviously, here in the States, who are pressing on with the notion that elections are going to be held in January of next year. The Bush administration over this past weekend on several different occasions asserted that the elections will take place. We've heard information from other folks we've talked to over there that it will be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to pull that off. How does it look from where you are?
Well, it looks, you know, it looks very, it's tough to see how these elections will be carried out, particularly, you know, countrywide. Certainly in places like Fallujah and Ramadi, I mean, I would say it's going to be near impossible to carry out elections if the current situation continues. But, you know, if we take the example of the Kurdish North or parts of the Shiite South, I mean, certainly, you know, even though there is some level of instability, the elections can take place there. But I guess, the thing to keep in mind, and as some you know, Iraqi analysts have told me, is that they feel that elections that are rushed or badly prepared would be more damaging than not holding these elections at all. And they're really trying to counsel American officials here to sort of take a step back and really you know, try to do this properly. Because, again, you know, if this election is carried out without including possibly some of those you know, cities that have become insurgent enclaves, then, you know, it's really going to drive a wedge between different groups in the country, between different ethnic groups. So that's a really important point to keep in mind.
So, Babak, it sounds like that, you know, the picture you're painting is certainly, it's worse than the Bush administration is leading us to believe in Iraq at this point in time.
That could be the way to take, you know, to look at it, I guess. You know, just after spending months and months here on the ground, I can say that it's really not a rosy picture. It's not very not looking very good at the moment.
Well, thanks for joining us, and be careful, Babak Dagan-Pache. It's always good talking to you.
Thanks, Babak.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Bye. It's intense, man. I can't, you know, Mark, I just, you know, I don't remember Vietnam. I don't remember, I don't have, you know, I have some childhood memories. But, you know, when we were sitting there preparing for the show, I was sort of talking about to you and some people in the room that if it were three networks still, if it was just three network television outlets and the news was covered properly, the entire country would be at the edge of their seats with this, would be, there would be more protests, there would be more sort of action taken around, you know, what the U.S.'s concerns are in Iraq and why we went there. There would be, you know, there would be all kinds of heightened awareness, but because there's so much information out there and the priorities of the press are so, you know, skewered and
screwed up,
you know,
you going
that, you know, it's almost impossible. It's weird just to be informed today on any level, the amount of information you have to sort through just to find some sort of, you know, cohesive journalistic truth. It's just mind blowing.
Consider this, Mark. We've talked to several reporters on the ground in Iraq. Babak was by far the most optimistic of them. Think about that for a minute.
But Bergen also, when speaking about Afghanistan, is relatively optimistic. Peter Bergen from...
But not nearly as optimistic about Iraq.
Nobody is optimistic about Iraq. You know, nobody, you know, Mick Ware certainly, and he's talking about, you know, he's with the insurgents. Peter Bergen is very, you know, negative. Not negative, but he's being
pessimistic.
And Babak, though, you know, optimistic, you know, the idea that Negroponte making decisions to, you know, bolster up security over infrastructure, and then the sort of catch-22 that he's talking about is that even though regular Iraqis are going to be frustrated by the infrastructure, and that may lead to people getting more aggravated with the Americans, the insurgents are also trying to sabotage infrastructure. It's a real quagmire.
Oh, yeah, and think about this for a second. The job opportunities for ordinary Iraqis are so bad that they actually have to go to police stations and military facilities where they know they could get bombed. They could get their heads blown off.
I'm not going
to. But they go anyway because there's no other jobs for people to try and get.
Right. And I'm not going to think about that for a second. I'm actually going to think about it for a minute or two. We'll be right back on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog too.
From 1996 to the year 2000, wages for almost all workers rose steadily and faster than the inflation rate. That hadn't happened since the long period of broadly shared income growth from 1947 to 1974. But here's a reality check. Since the year 2000, average family incomes have stopped growing. Total compensation levels are just slightly higher than they were 15 years ago. Even though today's workers are more likely to have attained a better education than their parents, many are paid about the same income. For example, a substantial portion of men who have a few years of college education will earn less than their fathers did. The solution to restore badly shared income growth is to return to policies that worked in the past. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for enabling all workers to see their incomes grow faster than the cost of living. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Sirius Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Sirius. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under business subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
Hey, what's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Hey, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh, that's so weird.
Should we do something?
You guys weren't using this, were you?
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
If you had invested $50 in a mutual fund 20 years ago, you would have gotten back $452. If you had invested $50 in the United Negro College Fund, you would have gotten back someone like Michael Jordan. So support the United Negro College Fund and let a kid profit from a college education. Please call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service message from the United Negro College Fund and the Ad Council.
You love the game. You love your team. And you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
That's it. Good morning. 54 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. We are getting back into this healthcare thing. Kerry and Bush are going at it over healthcare. Of course, Bush wants to put everybody on a series of HMOs that that may not cover, you know, I don't even understand completely how he pictures it. Is that, you know, basically everybody in America is on a handful of...
Everybody in America will end up choosing essentially their own health care options.
If they can.
If they can
afford it. If they have a job. But with the unemployment numbers where they're at, I mean, even though he's saying that the unemployment numbers are as good as they were back when Clinton was in office, the truth of the matter is that so many people have fallen off the unemployment rolls that they're not even counted, so we can't even assess those numbers. There are now... How many? 43 million uninsured Americans.
43 million. Now, George W. Bush's proposals would only cover 2.4 million more people than are covered now.
Right.
All right. Out of that 43 million, John Kerry's proposal would actually cover an additional 27 million, more than half of the people that are not now covered.
And the thing
would
I
be covered under Kerry's plan.
Yeah, right. And the thing I don't understand, Mark Riley, is essentially... You know, he's had 4 years to do something about this. I know he's had some other things to do, but, I mean, all of a sudden now he's going to do a bunch of things? You know, I just don't understand what he's running on.
Well, here's what he's talking, because
okay.
It really is what he talks about. There are 43 million uninsured Americans. George W. Bush said in 2000 that he was going to reverse the trend by making health insurance affordable for low-income families. The fact of the matter is that in the first 3 years Bush was in office, the number of uninsured Americans increased by more than 5 million. And in 2000, George W. Bush will establish the Healthy Communities Innovation Fund. That would have provided $500 million in grants over 5 years to fund projects addressing targeted health risks such as childhood diabetes. Bush never established the fund.
And apparently in Kerry's plan that, you know, George Bush, since Bush has been in office, I guess premiums for families and individuals have increased by $3,512.
That's right.
And one of John Kerry's promises is that he's going to cut premiums by up to
$1,000,
which
yeah.
is good. That's good. George Bush supports associated health plans that will increase health care costs for small businesses. And Kerry says he's going to give small businesses tax credits to cover up to 50% of premiums for low to moderate income workers. And that's the big difference between, you know, someone like George Bush and John Kerry. John Kerry believes that if people believe in their country, they're willing to allow a tax repeal of the tax breaks on the rich in order to, you know, re-enter the money into the system and maybe have people pay a little bit more taxes in order to have, you know, coverage for as many people as possible. That's a decent, democratic American thing to do.
And he's only asking the wealthiest Americans to pay a little bit more in taxes. He's not talking about repealing taxes across or the tax cuts across the board. He's really talking about the top 2% of Americans in terms of wealth.
You mean the people that can have health care no matter what's going on in the
Absolutely.
World? Okay, here we go. The liberal agenda is coming out of the fax machine right now from the Streisand compound. Get your pencils and notebooks. Here are your marching orders for today. One, get sensitivity training for Donald Trump. Have him change. You're fired. Two, you can now explore other options with your life. Two, for the 20th year in a row, petition the NFL to take the violence out of football by forming a National Touch Football League. Three, have Kitty Kelly's book added to Reagan Library just to piss off Republicans. Four, send Bill Clinton only softcore movies during his recovery to minimize chance of heart complications. And five, investigate KFC's coleslaw suppliers to make sure they're not abusing cabbages. That's it for this hour, Mark. What do we got coming up in the next hour?
Coming up, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Ambassador Nancy Soderbergh on the Sudan crisis, and the Liberal Confessional, all for you here on Air America Radio.
Tropical storms just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things happen in a circle? The seasons, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. The circle starts when we recycle trash. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content, then buy the highest percentage of it. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycle shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush is making a campaign stop in Las Vegas for a special address to the Convention of the National Guardsmen today. While the president is not expected to discuss his own record with the Guard, yet another news operation has confirmed that his reports by CBS and other organizations that Bush failed to complete his tour of duty in the Guard. U.S. News reviewing regulations in the U.S. Air Force shows the White House used a less stringent, inappropriate standard to determine whether Bush fulfilled his obligation to the armed forces. Both major political parties are stepping up efforts to promote absentee balloting as a way to lock up votes in a presidential contest, but election officials say they are struggling to cope with coercive tactics and fraudulent vote gathering involving absentee ballots that have undermined local races across the country. Some officials are quite concerned that efforts in some swing states to lock up the vote early and the extent to which critical swing states have allowed party operatives to involve themselves could very well taint the general election in November. President Bush heard from his chief political opponent in the November contest, many Democrats and virtually everyone in law enforcement yesterday, over his decision to let expire the ban on assault weapons. John Kerry was strident in his attack on the president, saying the lifting of the ban was a free pass for terrorists. Kerry blamed the Bush White House and the Republican Congress for allowing the ban to expire after 10 years. Bush maintains every American should have the right to bear arms. Studies have long maintained the assault weapons are only used on other people, not hunting purposes. Several police chiefs around the country assailed Bush for allowing the ban to expire. They maintained that such action would increase the death rate among law enforcement officers. State Secretary Colin Powell and Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge yesterday gave the green light for the creation of a new intelligence director to coordinate the nation's intelligence agencies. Both Powell and Ridge told members of the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee that giving the position real power will help keep America safe. Ridge added that in Washington, it's the ultimate command and control. Both Powell and Ridge also said such a director would help them do their job more effectively. Powell contends the nation needs a stronger, empowered quarterback. Declarations by Powell and Ridge is an about-face from what the administration had considered earlier when the position was first proposed. Russian President Vladimir Putin has called for sweeping changes to Russia's political system to help combat terrorism, but Putin's declaration immediately drew sharp criticism of exploiting the bloody attack at the Beslan Elementary School, killing over 350 people recently. Kremlin leader told top officials that he wanted a new election law to limit the number of political parties and have full control over nominating regional leaders. Putin maintains that changes were needed to boost state authority after the Beslan tragedy. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, Grasshopper. It is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
No, I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, Grasshopper. For
no, wisdom radio on Sirius, you know.
Oh. 132.
That'll do it.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Sirius.
Wisdom Radio.
132. This is Earth and Sky with a listener's question about an invasion of jellyfish.
My name is Jimbo Walsh, and I live on the north shore of Oahu, an island in the Hawaiian chain. And every month, 10 days after the full moon, we are inundated by jellyfish, particularly on the south shore of Oahu. But I'm wondering, why does this happen?
Jimbo, we floated your question by a few jellyfish experts, and Angel Yanagihara with the Pacific Biomedical Research Center at the University of Hawaii had this possible explanation. She studies jellyfish toxins, and she said the jellyfish might be spawning. Like clockwork, every month, hundreds to thousands of Hawaiian box jellyfish come to the coral breaks along Oahu's coast to spawn.
No one knows for sure why they all spawn at a particular phase of the moon. Yanagihara did say that the adult jellies are sensitive to light and avoid sunlight. They typically live about 600 feet, close to 200 meters, deep in the ocean. They come to the surface to spawn over a couple of nights, 8 to 10 days after each full moon, right about the time you notice them, Jimbo.
This is just before new moon, when nights are darkest. That could be the best time for baby jellies to avoid predators and return to deep water. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
That's right.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
That's right. Good morning. Good morning, geniuses. People of all kinds. Even strange people. People who think themselves to be strange. All of them, Mark Riley, and you.
Hi.
Well, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning to you, my friend, and I do think I'm strange.
Yeah, I know that you're strange. That's one thing I know now. Now, here's
thank
some,
you.
Sure. Rasmussen. I like Rasmussen. I'm pronouncing it like a medication. Rasmussen helps. It is a medication today. All right, Bush, 47.2%. Kerry, 46.4%. There's no bounce. See you later, bouncy.
Yeah.
Bounce is over.
It's gone.
That's right. Good news for me, because this stuff freaks me out, dude.
I know, and it shouldn't. These polls are snapshots. They really are designed to do several things, none of which have to do with the actual outcome of the election.
And none of which has to do with making me feel better or worse.
That's right. They drive money.
Rasmussen is not sitting around going, how can we screw with Mark Maron's head?
That's right.
See, if I'm giving too much leeway, Riley, I think that's all anybody does. Like right now, I think Smarty Pants Larson's in there going, all right, I'm going to make Maron pay for what he just said on the break. I'm going to make him pay for that.
What did you say on the break? I forgot.
I didn't say anything, really. Chris Lopresto, Kalo, brought up an interesting anniversary, which is today is the anniversary of the first draft lottery for the Vietnam War.
This was the first date. In other words, September 14th mm-hmm. was date number one.
Right. So, and when he said that, Jonathan Smarty Pants Larson, we were in the middle of a conversation about this first segment that we're having right now, about talking about what I'm talking about right now, which is weird because he had actually outlined this conversation that I'm having right now. Not really. No. And we were having a conversation about what we were going to do with this time that we're talking right now, mm-hmm. and Chris brought that up, and Jonathan said, oh.
And?
Yeah, like there was that weird pause, sort of like, why are you bringing up that now? And I said, you don't have to make him feel stupid, Jonathan. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. All I'm doing is I'm sort of bringing to light my ignorance of the subject. And then I said, well, you bringing to light your own ignorance of the subject sounds suspiciously like condescension. And then, Kayla laughed victoriously, and Jonathan sulked into his office. So that's really what happened. I'm kidding. Jonathan right now is, I don't even know if you people are hearing me over the air right now, because Jonathan's in there with the controls. It's like, I am Oz! I am the man! I am...
He's a little taller than the guy in the actual film, however.
Out of respect for Jonathan Larson, I have to say that he does a great job, and it's very big of him to take my ribbing that I am doing right
now.
Your
barbs?
My barbs, and I'm sure that he would say, well, if you read Pinker, you'll understand what you're doing. It's just sort of trying to accommodate your inability to adapt to a situation, and clearly because you are not as smart as me, your species will die, will wither away, because I know I am more, I can understand how to adapt to a situation, therefore get myself out of it when necessary, whereas you, because you're selfish and only see it in the moment, are certainly going to falter.
How long have you been inside his head?
Evolutionarily speaking.
It sounds like you've kind of cleaned his head out, his brain or something. Do you have a pipeline?
We are all in Jonathan Larson's head.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we're all God's creatures or something.
Exactly. We all live in Jonathan Larson's universe. He's just back there going, you look at them, do what I tell them to do. Look at me, move them around. Watch, now Mark Riley will talk.
Sure!
See, alright, anyways, but what I'm saying is, I'm so, compulsive and addictive and crazy that, so in the immediate revelation of polls, I'm like, and I'm cool, man. I'm cool because, I think, honestly, in my heart, I feel that America is seeing the truth of this administration. And even if they think they like Bush, they're starting to say, you know what? This guy's way too much trouble. Clearly, there's got to be some, something valid in all this criticism. There's got to be something valid in all the things that are being insinuated by him by people who respect the truth and respect democracy.
But see, the polling, Mark, has a different function. The polling doesn't really show what's in America's heart. It purports to show what's in America's heart. But what the polling does is create an interesting story for media then to glom on. It creates media stars out of the people, with few exceptions that run, Zogby and the people from USA Today and CBS News. Rasmussen, on the other hand, is a daily tracking poll, which makes it very different than many of the other polls we see, which track over a certain period of time or whatever. Rasmussen does this every single day. It's an insider's poll.
Right, but you didn't see, as far as tracking what's in people's hearts, you didn't see apparently the shame numbers or the... Here are the jealousy numbers, and the resentment numbers are here. They're all here.
Shame, jealousy. Shame is a...
And the joy. The joy numbers, very low.
Very low?
Joy, very low.
Is that Bush joy or Kerry joy?
It's just joy in general in the hearts of the nation is at an all-time ebb.
Is there a bully juice tracking?
There's a lot of bully juice. Oddly, the bully juice is almost exactly the same as the Bush numbers.
Mm. Well, what's startling about these numbers, Mark, is that there's so few people who aren't sure. 3.9%, that's a relatively low number.
Yeah.
Even for, this time of year. For people to have, it seems like most of America has made up its mind of it.
I still am of the belief that they're, listen to me, I'm talking to you. I've been one of those people that didn't register to vote. That I was one of those people that woke up on November 1st and said, oh man, I thought I was already, oh well, doesn't matter, it matters. Get out there and register while you still have time. I'm serious, you know who I'm talking to. You driving down the street thinking just because you live in New York, you don't have to register because it's going to go to the Democrats anyways. We need your vote. See, if the popular vote is so high, God forbid there's something as close that happened in 2000. If the popular vote is undeniably high, we will have some momentum, some constitutional credibility to depose and to take away this electoral college that can be rigged and fixed against us. See, I think that everybody, that this real surprise is, like you were saying, in order to guarantee your vision of what's going to happen, Mark Riley, which is what, carried by...
8 to 10.
There you go. Is that we need a landslide of people who haven't registered to get out there and register, to take action, to go to declareyourself.com, figure out how to do it, what the cutoff date is, and just do it. It's going to be an hour out of your day.
It's free, folks. You don't have to pay anything, and it is one way for you to exercise your individual power at no cost to you.
And it's fun. You get to go into a booth. There's a curtain, and it's very retro, usually. These machines have been around forever, and I hope they use those machines because the computer machines, no good, bad, easily fixed. Let's go to the classic old machines from the 50s.
Well, the ones they use in New York City are actually dated 1962. They're 42 years old this year.
Man, you got a head full of stuff. That's very impressive, Mark Riley. So let's
not really. My son works at the Board of Elections.
Okay. I'm like, wow, where did he pull that one up from? And so is everybody okay in the booth? Jonathan Larson, you okay?
No.
Brendan, you all right? P.W. McDonald's, okay. Everybody's good. I just don't want to...
They're all sipping cocoa. Listening to you talk.
I don't even know what that means, but go ahead, have some cocoa.
Yeah, there you go.
Kalo, you're okay. We're going to... When we come back, why don't we take some calls at 866-303-2270. How are you feeling? No, really, how are you feeling?
How about your health care? Let's talk about people's health care. Let's talk to some people who have had some illness in their family or among their friends or maybe among themselves and find out how they've been able to cope with this.
Yeah, that or anything else you want to talk about. Yeah. I don't even understand my health care plan.
Me neither.
You know, because you don't want to. Because you're like, you know, why do I want to even start looking at that? You don't want to admit that you might get sick.
Yep.
So you never look at your health care plan until the day you're like, I think I got something. We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you're tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sport boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome.
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I sell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
And it's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool.
On September 30th, 2004.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Bow, summer, water, fun.
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good. Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Game over, man. Game over.
18 past the hour, coming up on, yes, 19 past the hour, Mark Maron. Morning's Edition, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
I'm feeling all right. You feeling all right?
Feeling great.
You sure? You all right?
Yeah.
Oh, my heart. We were talking about healthcare, so that makes me paranoid. I used to be a hypochondriac, no more. I overcame it through a series of very uncomfortable hospital visits. Someday I'll tell that story, Mark Riley. But right now there's another story to be told. The story of my dream last night. I'm in a wheelchair with my leg in a cast. To pass the time, I've been spying on my neighbors with a telephoto lens. I know, it's pervy, and the lens is clearly a phallic substitute, so excuse me, Dr. Freud. I look out into the courtyard. In one window is Zell Miller. He spends most days ranting incoherently and spraying the walls with his angry spittle. Another one is Ralph Nader. Conversely, he spends most days ranting coherently and spraying the walls with reasonable proactive spittle. In one window is a couple that has sex all night. I timed them. 50 times I timed them. Some real endurance there. But the window that really intrigues me belongs to Dick Cheney and his wife. Only his wife is gone, and no one knows where she's gone. What we do know is that Cheney has been carrying a suitcase out in the rain several times a night. So clearly he chopped her up with a tack saw, drained her blood in the bathtub, and now he's burying her a piece at a time. That's how my mind works. I go right to the dismemberment scenario. Even my wife, Mishna, has started spying on Cheney with me. She decides to sneak into Cheney's apartment and snoop around while I watch her with the telephoto. What nads she has! So she's going through his drawers. She pulls out a Ronald Reagan bobblehead doll, a taser, a large black strap-on dildo, a spare heart. Oh, no, he's coming back. He's opening the door. He's got Mishna. Oh, damn. Let her go, you Republican turd. Just then, Cheney looks up, adjusts his aviator glasses, and sees me spying on him. I'm screwed. Oh, God, what if he comes over here? The place is a mess. 2 minutes later, Cheney breaks down my door. He's sweating and panting and starts coming toward me like a zombie, yelling, "What do you want?" I start blinding him with flashbulbs. Suddenly, there's a high-pitched whine and the smell of smoking wires, and Cheney grabs his heart and keels over. I take a long look at the dead monster on the floor and say, "I want this cast off, you idiot." I woke up and my bed was filled with birds.
Hitchcock. Yay! Hitchcock! Film Baron.
There you go, man. We're getting deep.
Yep.
We're doing the film historian's dream diaries. Now, so if anyone's out there going, "Wait a minute, that didn't sound like a real dream," then I don't believe his credibility. I thought he was, I need to go to the doctor. Wait.
Why don't they talk about the issues?
Gary in Detroit, what's going on?
Hey, Gary.
How you doing?
Good.
All right.
Good.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm a union carpenter in Detroit, and I was paying out-of-pocket $335 a month and up till this last year, and then it went to $495.
Oh, my God. So that's Bush's policies working for you.
Oh, it's... Bush's policies are working so good for everybody, aren't they?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
God, you know, I'm old enough to remember when $500 a month would be a mortgage payment, never mind a health care payment.
I can't
believe it. Oh, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what do you, what's the union do? Is it an HMO system?
Yeah. Well, it's a PPO, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, talking about deductibles for our medication, we're talking $50 deductible for one medication. I mean, we're self-funded. See, that's what it's like administrative cost, you know, they administer our money, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, that's just for administering it. It isn't. You know, I mean,
that's
outrageous, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. They're screwing us with this thing.
I wonder what his employer is kicking in.
But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. See, like, and I felt this frustration, you know, because there's, like, this drop-off. When I talk about my own health plan, I have no idea. You know, it's like literally, you know, you can write instructions for something, you know, in a couple of pages. Any health plan I've ever been on, they give you something the size of a Bible. That has nothing to do with anything that's going to help you. You can't understand anything. They complicate it. It's almost like the secret language of philosophy. It's like you have to be, you know, you have to be schooled in the language of HMO bullcrap in order just to get through the damn policy. And then by the time you're through it, you're like, oh, I get it. This doesn't help me at all. This is going to cost me money. I got no way of understanding, you know, how much money I'm out of pocket. You don't know until you need something. And then you realize, like, the only person that gets helped and that, you know, really makes money is the HMO.
Yep. They created an industry.
I'm sorry to hear about that. You know, hopefully we can get this guy out of here and we can get this whole system revamped, because he only plays to the HMOs. He's a bottom line guy. That's what it has to do with, you know, tort reform and on all levels, this guy is not a friend of the people when it comes to health coverage. And I had the numbers wrong. 43 million is what it used to be. You know, when Bush took office and he said he was going to make everything better. Now it's 45 million uninsured.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Omar.
It's the big O.
What's up, buddy? Haven't heard from you in a while.
How are we looking this morning?
All right, man.
Feel good.
That's good. That's good. I got two comments about this HMO and health insurance. God bless her, that this year has been 10 years since my mother's passed, but she worked in a hospital.
Yeah.
She had asthma. I come from a chronic asthmatic family.
Yes.
And I couldn't even begin to tell you what the price would have been if she didn't have no health coverage, because she's been in cardiac arrest 16 different times.
Whoa,
wow.
Before she said, this is it. The next time she ripped the thing out of her mouth and then Jed went cardiac arrest, she died.
Yeah.
Now my aunt just had knee replacement surgery. She has an HMO.
Yeah.
She pays like $347 a month.
Right.
And let me tell you something now. You know, if you replace your knee, you're going to be out for at least a month, month and a half.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
For 10 days.
Yeah. Oh,
take
that's it?
Take it on your 10 days. She went out to the hospital for 3 days up in Putnam Valley.
Oh, my God. What about physical therapy?
Yeah, physical therapy, they gave her 10 days at Burke on in White Plains on Mamaroneck Avenue.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, 10 days, and you want to make it the best way you can.
That's unbelievable. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. I mean, major knee surgery, that's completely debilitating.
You know how you can solve all this?
How?
By making Congress and the president pay for their own health care, like everybody else has to pay for their own health care.
Yeah, sure, why not? The real crime there is the 10 days of physical therapy. I mean, that's a major deal. My dad used to do that, the replacing knees. My mom had her knee, you know, worked on, and she was like, you know, kind of holed up for like 2 months. I mean, you got to basically learn how to walk again.
20 years ago, I got hit by a car.
Yeah.
In Queens. Uh-huh. Your borough.
You gotta be careful in Queens.
I know, you really do.
It's lawless there.
Step off the curb, bow.
Yeah, it's in international standards, you know what I mean? You just go when you feel like going. No, stop signs, lights, they don't mean anything.
Yeah, they just have big signs that says whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in the hospital for over a month. And yeah. I had arthroscopic knee surgery, where they actually reconstructed my knee.
Yeah.
And it took me a month in the hospital and 2 months of physical therapy.
Yeah, oh yeah, at the least.
At the least. And then I was only like 80%. I mean, I was still out on crutches and stuff. So, you know, 10 days?
And then they'll probably get you again. I mean, the thing is like then, well, it's a weird thing now. There's this whole home care industry as well.
Yeah.
Which actually Robert Reich thinks is one of the great new industries, you know, in terms of creating new
home
jobs.
Home health aides? Yeah, except they only pay him like $6 an hour.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And here in New York, I don't know about the rest of the country, but here in New York, they've had to strike on two different occasions in the last decade just to get, a slight bit over the minimum wage.
And it's rough work, too.
Yeah, it is.
Bob in Miami, what's going on? Bob.
Hey, Bob.
You mentioned about there's 45 million people.
45 million.
Right, that don't have health, and there's about 11 million children.
Oh,
yes.
But there's a common thread in this thing. There's a very, very common thread. We have, I've done a series of television tapes for the Dade County School Board down here in Dade County. And what the real problem was, doctors, we had professional doctors that they're specialists, and they pointed out that 40 cents out of every dollar that's spent in healthcare today in America is wasted because of all this frivolous litigation against the legal, against the medical profession.
I'm not sure that's completely true.
Let me tell you something.
Okay.
I saw it verified by the American Medical Association. I saw it verified by various aspects of the medical profession, and they pointed out 40 cents out of every dollar in this country is wasted because of litigation. This is sad because what it comes down to, you're dealing with our health. When you see all this junk science that's portrayed in all these medical malpractice cases, I mean, it's a hoax.
Yeah, we'll get back to that, Bob. I appreciate your call, but I believe that it's only 2% is what it really costs, and I think that's one of the myths about tort reform.
You've got to define frivolous.
We'll talk about it when we come back at some point.
Well, that's right. Coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Ambassador Nancy Soderbergh, and the Liberal Confessional on Air America Radio.
Have you written a book? Become a published author with Dorrance Publishing Company, the nation's oldest subsidy book publisher. For a free 32-page guidebook on how to have your manuscript published by a reliable subsidy publisher, phone 1-800-695-9599. Dorrance's free informative guidebook describes the subsidy publishing process and how Dorrance can publish your book in both a traditional format and as an ebook available for download via the internet. Becoming a published author can be a unique, personally rewarding experience. Receive your free author's guide today by calling 1-800-695-9599. It contains a detailed and straightforward explanation of how Dorrance works with authors who have written manuscripts of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and children's stories. Call 1-800-695-9599 to receive your free author's guide. It's a free call, so dial 1-800, then 695-9599.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Here's what's happening this hour. President Bush is preparing for National Guardsmen Convention in Las Vegas today. President is not expected to discuss his own record with the Guard, which has been much in the news of late. But another news organization, the somewhat conservative U.S. News, is backing the findings of CBS News and others that determine President Bush failed to meet his military obligations 30 years ago. President Bush is dealing with the specter of his Harvard University Business School professor, Professor Yoshi, who told CNN last night Bush once told him family friends pulled strings for him to serve in the Texas Air National Guard. Bush is still grappling with the problems of containing the violence in Iraq. The nation remains a killing field even with the transfer of power. The Bush White House yesterday proposed shifting $3.46 billion that had been earmarked for reconstruction to be transferred to improve security. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell them to get the Serious Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Serious. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Serious.com under Business Subscriptions or call 888-539-SERIOUS.
This is Earth and Sky. Paleontologists look for fossil bones from ancient primates. When they find them, they wonder how closely related the bones are to our human ancestors or to the ancestors of other primates.
Paleontologists have traditionally measured the thickness of tooth enamel to help group fossils into families. Leslie Lusco is an anthropologist at the University of California, Berkeley. She decided to measure the tooth enamel of hundreds of living baboons to see how good that technique was. She published her results this past July.
And what we found is when you look at a large number of individuals, because we looked at 400 animals, and most previous studies had only looked at 1 to 8 individuals, that there is an awful lot of variation. And actually, it's more variation just within these related baboons than the variation that some people say is significant between different species of early human ancestors.
Now, Lusco is trying to find better indicators of how an individual is related to other primates. She's looking at living baboons, categorizing tooth features and entering genetic information into a computer model. She's hoping to identify traits that vary in a predictable way from one generation to the next to help biologists understand how a species changes over time.
Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
That's it. 33 past the hour.
Fire truck.
Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
On Air America Radio's Morning Sedition, the fire truck will remain a mystery to those who don't know. To those who do know, the fire truck is what it is. But to anybody, it's kind of funny. Yeah, fire truck for no reason. Hey, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 77. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Today, let's talk about how well things are going. Was that satirical gunfire? Because we're not going to stand for it anymore. I mean it, damn it. Now, yesterday, we bombed an Al-Qaeda hideout. No, don't say a word. We don't care what it was. It was an Al-Qaeda hideout. We also bombed an ambulance by mistake. It was an Al-Qaeda ambulance. No, no, repeat after us. It was an Al-Qaeda ambulance. Which brings us to the point. There are two kinds of reality. What we say happened and what actually happened. Guess which counts. It's your job to make sure that pesky little reality, that pesky reality conforms to what we say. How? Well, here in the U.S. we have a little thing called spin. For instance, yesterday, sure, 20 people died, but how many lived? Bright side, people, bright side. Wake up. There's always going to be collateral damage. War isn't neat, but that doesn't mean it can't look neat. If we kill someone, then they were the bad guy. Got it? What are they going to do? Argue? They're dead! Don't you see how simple this all is? You don't have to even worry about what's going on. We'll tell you what's going on. Then you make it so. It's all about image, or as we call it, reality. Until next time, good luck and God bless. This is day 77 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of it's hard to even set this up because there's so much that I don't know. There's so much that people don't know. I'm glad we have a guest to talk about it. But can you help me out a little, Mark Riley, in setting up the situation in Darfur in the Sudan?
Okay, first of all, Darfur is in the western region of the Sudan. The Sudan is largely in sub-Saharan Africa, although there is a large Arab population, and many people in government in the Sudan are, in fact, of Arab extraction. The immediate crisis is that in Darfur, which is a predominantly black region of the Sudan, the people are sitting on top of a whole heck of a lot of oil. And to access that oil, the government has a hand or has an interest in moving people off that land.
Moving. By that you mean moving people off this mortal coil?
If need be. Mm. And there are certainly reports that estimate as many as 10,000 children, in fact, from the Darfur region are dying in these refugee camps, which are as a direct result of raids by a group called the Janjaweed. They are gunmen who ride around on horseback. They are militias, and they are, by most accounts, backed by the Sudanese government. There have been a number of organizations trying to exert pressure on the Sudanese government to get the Janjaweed to stop. The leaders of the country have said in the past, yes, we're going to tell them to disarm, but they have not yet done so.
Because they're serving the government.
Because they're serving
the demonic task. So let's talk to our guest. She was U.S. Representative to the United Nations Security Council. She is currently a Vice President of International Crisis Group, and she's joining us to discuss the crisis in Sudan. Good morning, Ambassador Nancy Soderberg.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what should the United Nations be doing to stop the genocide in Sudan?
Well, what they should be doing is passing sanctions against the government of Sudan and putting a force in there to protect the population. Unfortunately, the lessons and the pledges of the Rwanda genocide in 1994 have not really been implemented, and all those pledges that we won't let this happen again have turned out to be hollow. The actual casualties are much higher than just the 10,000 children in the refugee camps. You have an estimated 50,000 who have been killed in this campaign, 1.5 million displaced and at risk, and another couple hundred thousand displaced from their homes within the Darfur region. What happens to them between now and the end of the year is very much in question. They are at risk because they can't go home, they can't plant their crops, and it's not clear that the international community will be able to fully provide for them.
Why were those promises hollow? Why weren't they acted upon?
Well, I think the sad truth is that the world is not ready to send troops to Africa to stop killing. We might do it. It took us 3 years to do it in Bosnia. It took 9/11 to have us invade Afghanistan and Iraq, and Americans generally do not want to send their troops, nor do Europeans, to Africa, African crises. Now, what's happening in the Security Council is interesting. They, largely because of the leadership of the United States on this, the Security Council has repeatedly threatened sanctions against the government, although I doubt it will actually impose them. And they're trying to get an African observer force in there, a force of about 3,000.
But aren't there oil interests there? I mean, isn't that one of the reasons why they're not taking action, because it is serving the Western oil interests?
I don't think so, actually. I think there is it's much more complicated than just the fact that Sudan has oil. I think it has more to do with our reluctance to put troops on the ground. However, there are other countries, China in particular, that has deep direct oil interests that have threatened to veto any kind of resolution imposing sanctions there. That's also because they're afraid the Security Council might turn on them and look at their actions in Tibet and elsewhere in their own country. So there's a very broad range of dissenting views in the Security Council about trying to take any meaningful action. So what's happening is you had the Secretary of State, Colin Powell, visit there with the Secretary General of the United Nations earlier this summer, and they're continuing to increase their rhetoric on this. And the government of Sudan is playing a very effective game. They're just doing just enough to forestall any meaningful action from the Council. But if you look at what's happening on the ground today in Darfur, the campaign of genocide continues to this day.
Our guest is Ambassador Nancy Soderberg. When we come back, Ambassador, I'd like to talk about the U.S. sanctions against the Sudan, which have been in place and have been extended, and whether or not they're working. We'll be right back with our guest here on Air America Radio.
Anonymous, how can I help you?
Well, I'm addicted to Sean Hannity.
Sir, Sean Hannity.
I got a big problem. I'm listening to him on Sirius ABC News and Talk, and then
sir,
I listen at night to Hannity and Combs on Fox News, and then on the weekends, I catch repeats of the shows.
Sir, listening to Sean Hannity is not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Sirius Satellite Radio has all the Sean Hannity you need to feed your addiction. Catch him on ABC News and Talk 140 and Fox News 105.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
The music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. But a little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem.
Hey, now this is Dr. John with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kicksburg.
I'm Ronnie Dunn.
And we're Brooke.
And Dunn for RAD. And I've got a four-letter word for you. Don't. As in don't drive drunk.
Yep, and I got a three-letter word for you, as in get. Get the keys.
When you see someone who's about to drive under the influence,
get the keys.
Because friends don't let friends drive drunk. My
heart is low. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255. 1-800-638-8255.
Past the hour, it's morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're talking on the phone with the current Vice President of International Crisis Group, Ambassador Nancy Soderberg.
Ambassador, I'm curious about one issue and whether or not it plays into the current developments. There was, for some time, a great deal of controversy about whether or not there was slavery in the Sudan, Arab on black slavery. And I wonder, from where you sit, whether that issue at all plays any role in what we're seeing happen in the Sudan now.
I don't think so. It's a different dynamic that's going on. The war that has been going on, which you're not really hearing too much about now, but for the last couple of decades, the northern part of Sudan, which is Muslim, has been a very vicious war with a largely Christian south, where 2 million people have killed, although it's not ever in the news. And the Christian leaders here in the United States got to President Bush on this issue, and he really did appointed now the U.N. ambassador, Jack Danforth, to be a negotiator there, and they've reached a peace accord, although it's somewhat fragile, with the North-South. So I think it's really the Christian right in America who's been interestingly driving the United States' interest on that. Now, this issue in Darfur, while it's not really a Christian issue, threatens that fragile peace deal that is protecting the Christians of the South. So it's a very interesting political dynamic of why the U.S. is so interested in Sudan all of a sudden.
Now, educate me on this. The United States now has unilateral sanctions in place against the Sudan, does it not?
That's right. In 1997, the U.S. issued an executive order imposing a trade embargo and an assets freeze on the Sudan. This follows several years of efforts to try to get stronger sanctions in the U.N. without any success. The U.N. imposed diplomatic sanctions, which means that basically you have to reduce the travel to Sudan and reduce ties diplomatically with them, but they're pretty weak sanctions altogether. There's also an arms embargo, which is regularly violated.
Mm-hmm. Are the sanctions, the U.S. sanctions, working at all?
Well, I don't think that it's changing the government's behavior sufficiently. What the group I work for now, the International Crisis Group, is arguing is for the international sanctions to be placed, because the U.S. has very little trade with Sudan anyway. It'd be much more effective if you could get the Security Council to actually impose sanctions. To its credit, the U.S. Embassy at the mission at the United Nations is circulating a resolution, in fact, threatening oil sanctions. It's unlikely that they will actually get it, but simply keeping the threat out there is getting the attention of the government in Khartoum.
Well, what do you think will work to stop what's going on there?
Well, I think what would work are tough sanctions against the government, including oil, and putting a force on the ground to actually protect the people on the ground and stop the genocide. I think that there's great reluctance to do that. I think what will happen is a continued shining a limelight on what is happening in Darfur. And now that the president, Secretary of State, has actually called it genocide, while that doesn't technically oblige anyone to do anything differently, the fact that it is now called genocide helps bring attention to it and push people to push the government to do the right thing.
It just seems like such a double standard. I mean, this is a country that has harbored terrorism, that, you know, by judging by what this administration is willing to do in the name of terrorism, that they haven't done anything. Don't you find that baffling?
Well, people forget that Sudan harbored bin Laden.
Yeah, I mean, it's
until
just...
he went to Afghanistan in 1996.
So why the inaction on behalf of this administration? I mean, it just seems completely hypocritical to me.
Well, I think, actually, to its credit, the Bush administration has been pretty forceful on this issue, again, primarily because of the Christian rights there. But I think you've got an international community wholly unwilling to impose sanctions on the government, and no country, including the United States, willing to put its troop on the ground. Now, what's likely to happen in the next few months is they're going to try and fly in 3,000 African advisors. If they can get those on the ground, it will help greatly in sort of forcing the government to follow through on its commitments to stop the ethnic cleansing. So that's currently the hope, that you can get those Africans in there. That will require the U.S. and others training them, equipping them, and flying them into Darfur. So that's a big question mark as well. But you're right. Overall, it's a very sad commentary on the world's willingness to intervene to protect innocent lives, particularly in Africa.
How will the Sudanese government respond if the United States does bring in a group of a multilateral African force of some type into the Sudan?
Well, they'll kick and scream and oppose it. But ultimately, if it were to happen, I think you could convince them to accept it, because of their utter failure to live up to their own commitments. They're whining that they can't stop the Janjaweed, even though they're the ones who have trained and equipped them. They're whining about not being able to do this. Ultimately, if the international community is prepared to say, we will do it for you, I think that they would have to accept that.
Well, maybe we'll check back in with you as this thing progresses. Really appreciate you informing us and educating us, Ambassador Nancy Soderbergh. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
on the phone, a surprise call from a doctor who is going to, you know, shed a little light on what that caller earlier brought up about, you know, the myth of malpractice suits raising the insurance rates. We're going to get some clarity on that after this on Air America Radio.
Candidate for governor Dickie Pillager has a message for you, the voter.
I always turn to nature to make sense of the world. But our environment is under siege. Under siege, under fire.
Cut!
Not under attack.
Dickie, it's endangered.
He's got big ideas about the environment.
Have to get our priorities straight. The whole environmental arena, that's a priority.
Richard Dickie Pillager on law enforcement.
Frontier justice. All you needed was a good strong rope and a tree to hang it from.
Social issues.
Organizations formed to help these things will be happy to pitch in if only government would get out of their way.
Cooking.
If you're going to have a front burner, which is where you want your priorities, it's like cooking.
Finally, a candidate with all the right answers. Finally, a candidate with a vision for America. In the new movie from acclaimed director John Sayles, Silver City, rated R for language, starts Friday in select cities.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Serious Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. He already loves Sirius. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under Business Subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go?
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Past the hour. All right. Sometimes it's morning's edition, by the way. It's Mark Maron, Mark Riley.
Yep.
Sometimes it's not easy being a liberal, you know. We all stray from the straight, narrow, progressive path from time to time. So when I need to unburden myself, I step into the morning sedition liberal confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, for I've sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Brother Riley, I tend to overreact to the polls.
I see. I mean, I see it almost every day from you, Mark. When you read Kerry has slipped even one percentage point in the polls, you freak out.
Yeah.
You get depressed and you declare it's all over for us Democrats. When you do that, you dash all of our hopes and dreams.
Brother Riley, I think I'm supposed to admit those things, such as the nature of a confessional I'm supposed to.
That's true, Mark. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
please continue to describe things that really get on our listeners' nerves.
All right. It's just that the conservative media doesn't do that, you know? Let the polls crush their spirit. They just pretend everything's fine. When they get home at night, they push straight, you know, when they get home at night, they push straight pins into their groins for release. But in public, they're just as confident as ever. Why can't I be more like that?
So you want to be more like a conservative radio talk show host? Cold? Unmovable, driving full speed ahead with blinders on, and cheering your party on to certain victory no matter what?
No, that would be lying. We're in the toilet. Did you see those polls after the Republican convention? I mean, well, Bush was ahead by 11%. He was leading in almost all indicators. Even women voters were doomed, man. Don't you get it? Oh, see, like I'm doing it. You see what I'm doing?
Come on, Mark. You know the people who answer these polls are old, lonely people who get their news from Reader's Digest and the covers of supermarket tabloids. Because of that, it's no wonder they prefer Bush. Most of them believe John Kerry is a space vampire here to steal Earth's water supply.
All right, so am I a bad person for letting the polls get to me, Mark?
No, Mark. It's all the other things that make you a bad person. So here is your penance. I want you to visit an old folks home this week and tell at least 10 elderly people that George Bush is a brain gobbler from Zarkon 5 and he's here to slake his thirst on Lawrence Welk's fan base.
Wow, that's almost too believable considering his healthcare platform. I'll try to make it sound, you know, weirder.
Fine. Now go and sin no more.
Amen. Wow, that was like a play.
Yeah, really.
All right, so let's get some input from an internist here in the New York area. Roman, good morning.
Hi, Roman.
How are you?
Okay, good.
I never thought I'd follow Sudan. Something about genocide, and this doesn't seem to be fitting right.
No, we did a comedy bit in between.
So it works.
I've been listening to you guys since April.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Just some very quick points. I'll let you guys go.
No. Tell us.
There's no way that this is 40% of the cost.
Mm.
The biggest cost of your monthly addition to HMOs is about 20% goes directly to administrative costs.
Which are?
Paying the CEO of the company.
Exactly.
Making certain that the quality assurance analysis. There's a lot of paperwork that goes along with your insurance policy.
Right. Well, most
of the stuff you can't understand.
Right. So that and that is really determined by the insurance industry.
That's exactly right.
It's got nothing to do with malpractice suits, frivolous or not.
None.
That apparently the real numbers that are official is around 2%, frivolous or not, malpractice money spent.
I have to sort of agree with that. Now, the other guys at work are going to shoot me, but that's probably true.
Right. Well, I mean, it is true. I mean, these are, you know, I didn't make the numbers up, but we certainly appreciate you as a professional giving us that input, Roman.
Thanks, Roman. You know, it's interesting to contemplate how do so many people get so much misinformation?
Yeah.
You know, because that guy that called us before from Miami, I think it was Bob,
yeah.
He's not the only person that believes 40 cents on every dollar is being of every healthcare premium dollar is being spent on frivolous lawsuits. Is that just Bush?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, is Bush the one that's pushing this? Is this the repetition machine that we've heard so much about?
That's all they do is repeat things, these guys. You know, repeat whatever agenda they have. I was just like, I was spacing out there for a second because I was just looking at this story again about the dude in the Batman's outfit that climbed. Like, I'm sorry I abandoned you there for a second, Mark Rowley.
No, that's all right, man.
Because we're about to go to break, and I just say, like, this story's been sitting there. Apparently some, you know, the London police chief has demanded an urgent inquiry after a father's rights campaigner dressed as Batman evaded supposedly tight security to stage a protest on a Buckingham Palace balcony. Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara have ordered a thorough investigation. Officers facing their second security breach in 4 months after the group pelted Prime Minister Tony Blair with flower-filled condoms took 5 hours to finally bring the protester down from Queen Elizabeth's London residence. Also perplexing is not just the Batman's climb up the wall, but the number of celebrity cameos. I mean, Art Linkletter, Sid Charisse, Bob Cummings, and Virginia Graham, who stuck their heads out of the window while Batman was crawling up the wall. A spokesperson, police spokesperson, told CNN that a man was, it was arrested in connection with the incident on suspicion of causing criminal damage. Millionaire Bruce Wayne was unavailable for comment. But police said that no members of the royal family were in the palace, but admitted the protester should not have been able to scale the perimeter fence with a ladder and climb onto the high-profile balcony. And since Batman has no actual superpowers, it's doubly confusing.
But, you know, I bet you there are plenty of people in England who would like nothing more than to be able to climb up on a balcony in Buckingham Palace, just scream, I am king.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah,
why not?
Scotland Yard issued a statement saying when the police chief, Sir John Stevens, had demanded a report on the incident by Tuesday morning, and he has asked that the report be given in graphic novel form.
Uh-oh. I got to be careful about. I got to be careful about these things. My wife is British, and she doesn't, you know, she takes all that royal stuff real seriously.
Oh, okay.
All right. The next hour of Morning's Edition, Recovery Corner, Bush's promises, the presidential palm pilot, you on the phones, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Old way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Here's what's happening this hour. State Secretary Colin Powell appears to be on a mission to set the record straight on what he knew and did not know about the reasons for war in Iraq outlined in his now historic speech before the United Nations General Assembly more than a year and a half ago. Powell, during an appearance yesterday before the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee, said that he's found out in the past year that some of his sourcing for making a judgment about Iraq was flawed. He added that the sources at the time had not been vetted widely enough across the intelligence community. Powell said he was distressed by that development because some knew his sourcing was suspect. Powell's testimony of the matter was yet another attempt by the state secretary to clear the record after taking bruising criticism from the activist community for carrying water for the Bush administration without checking the facts. Entertainer and longtime activist Harry Belafonte was among those most critical of Powell at the time. President Bush this morning is taking more criticism over his record in the military. U.S. News is the latest media organization to declare that Bush failed to meet his obligations with the Air National Guard in Texas. Publication after a meticulous review is supporting the findings of CBS and other news outlets that the Bush White House used less stringent standards to determine whether the nation's chief executive served his required time in the service over 30 years ago. U.S. News development comes amid word that those organizations questioning the records uncovered by CBS have been linked to the controversial Swift Boat Veterans for Truth group. That organization has been on a tear, as many of you know, with a series of blistering attacks on John Kerry's military record. Asian defense experts are saying this morning what many in the world don't want to hear. They say the international war on terror will prove long and drawn out. This as militants reorganize themselves into smaller groups. The defense experts say al-Qaeda has broken into small groups, creating a network in third world nations. Al-Qaeda, according to the experts, has penetrated institutions and managed to fan destructive radical anti-Western teachings in Muslim schools. A car bomb exploded near a police station in Baghdad early today as dozens of Iraqis were applying to join the force, killing at least 47 people, wounding 114, and badly damaging nearby shops and buildings. Blast left a gaping 10-foot crater outside the station at the end of Haifa Street, a main Baghdad thoroughfare that has been the scene recently of fierce clashes. And both major political parties are stepping up efforts to promote absentee balloting as a way to lock up votes in the presidential race, but election officials say they are struggling to cope with coercive tactics and fraudulent vote gathering involving absentee ballots that have undermined local races across the country. Some officials are quite concerned that the efforts in some swing states to lock up the vote early and the extent to which critical swing states have allowed party operatives to involve themselves could very well taint the general election in November. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne.
Come out and cheer, cause football is here. Root for your favorite, you waited all year. We got the best of the NCAA.
All the top teams.
Yeah!
Fight, fight, fight.
Here's to the red, white, and blue. Game day's a
upon us, so grab the whole crew. Skip all of us, go to Sirius for gay times and schedule too.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lyka with another Car Clinic Minute. It's gone up again. No, I'm not talking lottery jackpot. I'm talking gas prices. But don't despair. When I come back, I'll tell you how to fill up your tank without emptying your wallet. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. If filling your tank's draining your funds, increase your odds for better gas mileage by following the Lotto principle. L-O-T-T-O. L, less weight means better gas mileage, so don't use your trunk as storage space. O, observe speed limits, because increasing speed from 55 to 75 decreases MPG 25%. T, turn off engine if idling more than 1 minute. T, travel when traffic's lightest to avoid stop-and-go driving. And O, operate vehicles at peak efficiency by flushing cooling systems every 2 years, which will also help avoid repairs. Jackpot! I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Why don't they talk about the issues?
George W. Bush. Now, what do you think that W stands for? That W stands for wrong. Wrong direction. Wrong choices. Wrong priorities. Wrong judgment for our country.
How dare they? Professor, what's the grade?
The grade is F.
That's right. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, poets, cat lovers. Man, cats, how are you, Mark Riley?
I'm doing great, man.
The big man just stopped by. The big man came down to visit.
The CEO.
He came up to visit the little people here in the studio.
Uh-huh.
Doug Krieger, still in the booth with Smarty Pants Larson, Brendan P.W. McDonald back there, sitting back there trying to make it seem like he's not really here. You know, Doug, we had, what, I didn't even know who was in charge of this place. For how long? 4 or 5 months?
And was then, it that long?
Yeah, and I guess, I'm not sure what Doug's title is, but clearly he's...
CEO would do.
It's CEO?
Yes.
So he's my boss.
Yes, he is.
And he just came down and I sort of was snide with him.
Yes, you were.
A little bit. But, you know, I don't know. We got a love-hate thing going, me and Krieger. I'm not sure what it is. You know, for a while there, it's like it was pretty clear he didn't like me, and now he seems to come...
And now it's for real. He really doesn't like you.
Now he comes down and it's sort of like it's a little tense. Like, oh, no, he's coming in.
Here we go.
All right.
Oh, no. Both of them.
No, Larson brought Krieger in. What do you want to do? All right, Doug, you want to hammer this out?
You just tell me how this works.
Oh,
just,
there you go.
You okay, sit down, you go. Put the headset
okay,
down.
Good.
Let's hammer this out like men
okay.
here.
Okay, which one is the Riley?
Should I leave now?
which one is Riley.
Riley's the Jewish guy.
You know why he's coming down? Because it's only up till recently that I haven't been able, where's my money?
And you have health care now, too.
Yeah, right? And providing, of course, you turn the form in today.
Yeah, so if you could read the booklet. Yeah.
What do you mean I don't read the booklet? There's a million pages. Do you understand what the health care plan is?
No.
You don't. Because you know why, Doug? Because you don't care. You don't need it. You're one of them. You're one of them rich folks that's got all the money.
And I came in here voluntarily.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
So what, you got a problem with me? Let's hammer it out.
You're a good guy.
Oh, that guy's, how's,
now, boy, he lies on the fluff, doesn't he?
That's the sincerity there.
Hey.
How's everything going there, America? Tell our people.
Actually amazing.
Good. That's great.
Every week we're adding affiliates all over the country.
We got Atlanta coming in tomorrow. That's on station in Atlanta, 1690, Air Atlanta. That starts tomorrow. And good morning to Asheville,
North Carolina. Yeah,
the Revolution, Progressive Talk 880. Welcome aboard. We got Albuquerque, my hometown. Now my dad can listen to me when he's not too upset with me. See, that's what I bring out in people like you. I bring out this thing, this resentment.
I felt like your father.
Yeah.
As I'm old enough to be your father.
As I was saying, get out! I have one father.
And you know what? I was 153 in the draft.
You were? So
really?
Yeah.
And what happened? Did you go?
I was a teacher.
You go. Deferment.
That's a deferment.
Automatic deferment.
Because you're helping people.
I was helping people.
Yeah. So, Doug, so tell us more, because people always ask me, they're like, I say I'm on Air America, and they say, is that still on? And I go, yes, it's still on, but it's just not everywhere. What else can we look forward to? Where is it coming into?
Actually,
San Francisco, how's that
working
coming?
On some big markets.
Okay, good.
And actually, the more, for those listening on the Internet, just go to your local stations, tell them to put us on.
That's a good idea. People on the Internet love having something to do other than talk to each other for 3 hours every morning. You hear that, bloggers?
Yeah.
Go to your local stations. Some of you I know are abroad. That's okay.
Go to your local stations abroad. It's all right.
But we've got...
Makes a big difference.
It does make a difference.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
And what's the relationship with Clear Channel like? How's that going?
It's great. They're great broadcasters.
Okay. They are. That's their job. It turns out that they're not so conservative after all. They are conservative. Perhaps they've been accused of leaning towards the Bush administration, but now they're doing the right thing. They're adding us to their consciousness.
Well, that's right. They appreciate the format, and that's the important thing. We're offering a voice that America needs now. They understand that. We're out there.
Yeah, and they're businessmen. They want to make a buck.
That's right. Bottom line stuff.
I mean, what other job can you have when people stop you in the street? You must get this all the time. They thank you.
Well, they go, first they have to recognize
First they say they have to know who you are,
then
right?
Then they recognize me by my voice. It's like, you sound familiar. Are you? Oh, my God.
You're the guy that screams in the morning.
We're on television now, and Doug Krieger's in the room, and I want to thank you, Doug, for getting us, helping us out and everything. We're on television. So we're on the Sundance Channel. It's Dead Air. It's on at Al Franken's Dead Air on it. What time is it on again, Catherine? Catherine left.
11:30.
Anyways, thanks a lot for coming down.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm going to go to work now.
Krieger's bailing.
Before I get in trouble with everybody else.
Oh, wow.
That's hilarious because Krieger's like, now he's uncomfortable because I'm making fun of the cash cow. I got to go. You can't mock the only guy that's making money on this network in front of me.
That's right.
I'm kidding.
I've been watching your Internet numbers. Also, have gone up tremendously.
Really?
Ours, Morning Seditions?
Yeah. Oh, really? You can track that?
Yeah.
I hear that we are the real player, the real people. Yeah. We are like the biggest phenomenon in streaming history. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For a non-news event.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, it's really remarkable, the numbers. So and actually, our Internet hits have gone through the roof. Just people visiting our website.
Oh, yeah. We
call AirAmericaRadio.com. You like to refer to it as Morning Sedition.
Well, that's because we have our own website.
And it's a great way. I like your new logo.
Isn't that nice? One of the guys who listens to us.
I look fat.
No, you don't. Some woman came up to me yesterday and said that the detail on my head is scary, how good it is. Doug, I'm going to keep you here. We're talking to Doug Krieger. He's the CEO of Air America Radios. If you have any questions for him, we're taking your calls. 866-303-2270. 866-303.
If my brother's listening in San Diego...
Yeah. Yeah, you can call. Yeah, if you're Doug's brother, please call us.
Call us.
And help us round out exactly what Doug Krieger is made out of, because we're baffled here. We don't know where he comes from, what he does.
Yeah.
But we just
he runs this company. That much we know.
I just know that on some level, I am being, paid by him, and I appreciate that. But if you have questions for Doug Krieger or anything else you want to say about Air America, the board's just lit up. We'll be right back on Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Ah, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Do you forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Gerke. And I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-581-4641. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-581-4641. 1-800-581-4641.
He ruled TV for 4 years on SNL. Starred in unforgettable films like, his serious radio show rocks the nation. So what's the next incredible step for shooting star Jim Brewer? Opening for Incubus in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Serious road trips along with Jim to bring you his show and all the stuff that happens before. Jim Brewer, unleashed, unwashed, and probably a little drunk. Friday night, 6 Eastern, Serious Rod Dog, 147.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here about 3 times since this morning. Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh, how long has it been like this?
At least since this morning.
What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, walked off?
Yeah, I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We can leave a note.
You guys weren't using this, were you?
Not us.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful ways to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffers from asthma, accounting for nearly 1/3 of all pediatric emergency room visits. But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS, log on to www.noattacks.org, or call your doctor, because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
That's right, 16 past the hour. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yep.
Our spontaneous and completely surprised guest in studio is head honcho, CEO of Air America, Doug Krieger. I'm going to do the presidential palm pilot right now that got to me from Ramon, who is now sweeping, I think, over with Dale, our guy, our tech support guy. He's not sweeping with Dale, but he's sweeping in Dale's office because Dale, now I'm understanding the whole thing. That's where he, all right, anyways. 8 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. Everything is going great in Vietnam. I mean, Iraq. Damn, Iraq. 8:45 a.m. Speak at rally in Greenwood Village, Colorado, at Coors Amphitheater. Avoid mentioning that 8:45 a.m. used to be my favorite time for a Coors. 9:30 a.m. Secret visit to Coors Brewery. Ask if I can float in a vat just for old time's sake. Avoid swallowing. 10 o'clock a.m. Call AA sponsor, just in case. 11 a.m., quick lunch over beer-battered shrimp. That doesn't count, does it? Beer-battered shrimp? 12:10 p.m. Address General Conference of the National Guard in Las Vegas. Check the Vegas line on how many people were betting I wouldn't show up. 2 p.m. Leaving Las Vegas. Try to think of an in-flight movie to ask for. Nothing, huh? 5 p.m. Give the twins a surprise gift from Trip. Novelty Coors beer can hats. 10 o'clock p.m. Lights out. Sweet dreams of Coors beer. Make sure AA sponsor is on speed dial.
So here, Doug, throw it here.
Yeah, you
I'll throw it out for you.
Doug Krieger, CEO. What'd you say, Jonathan?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Doug Krieger didn't laugh at all, which I think was, that's all right. He was thinking about, you know, how he's going to handle himself on the air. I know he's nervous. His son just called him. The pressure's on. Your son called from, he didn't want to get,
he didn't want to call in.
But he called from Cape Cod.
I offered him a phone call, but, you know, the fact that he called me is good. Once a day.
That's right. Does he call you once a day?
Always.
And you got a new grandchild?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Alejandra.
And what does your son do in Cape Cod?
He's a ceramic artist.
Wow, you are a liberal.
I'm going to get...
You've really let your kids go, haven't you?
And he obviously has time to listen to Air America Radio.
Really, he's taking a little time away from the wheel, I guess.
Actually listening on satellite this morning, probably.
Well, that's we got a couple of callers that have a question about that. Rick in Virginia on XM. How are you, Rick?
Hey, Rick.
Hi, fine, thank you.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm sitting here in Washington, 2 miles from a mile from the CIA in Washington, D.C., listening on satellite radio. And how many other people are listening on satellite radio?
That's a good question. Let's let Mr. Krieger field that. Doug, you got a lot of listeners on satellite? Get any numbers from that? What's the reaction?
Actually, they don't have a system that counts at this point. There's no...
What's the feedback then from XM and Sirius?
We have a real good relationship with both.
Have you been over there to Sirius?
You know, great studio.
Yeah, it is a great studio, but you know,
a little bit nicer than this one.
Only a little.
I hear they have air conditioning.
I bet you that if we had a studio like the Sirius Studios, we might get local traffic and weather.
Oh, bring up a sword.
But you know when it's hot here.
Yeah, right. We just don't know when it's daylight here. That's all.
Actually, it's a beautiful day today here in New York.
It is beautiful. It's been a beautiful few days. I got to be honest with you. I've done some stuff over at Sirius, and the studios that they have with toilets in them are better than... Anyways.
We're going to work on that.
Oh, good, good. You mean with the new morning personality?
You won't be here to enjoy it, Mary.
Riley, you let me know how it is.
I don't know if I'll be here either after this.
Oh, you know it's not going to be here.
We'll give him the call-in number.
Mark in Fort Lauderdale, what's going on?
Hey, namesake.
Hey, guys, love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I got two questions. I'm listening down here in Fort Lauderdale. How's Randy Rhodes fighting that reoccurring yeast infection, and how long are you guys on the air after Bush wins?
That's a good question.
As long as we want to be.
I have no idea about the status of Randy Rhodes' reoccurring yeast infection, but I...
Yeah,
Which he
we'll leave a note when she comes in.
Yeah, Jonathan Larson just said,
"Hey, Randy is amazing." Actually,
well, the funny thing is that with Randy, it's like she's pretty candid on her show. So, like, you know, they're saying that it's an insult, and she didn't bring it up on her show. But there is, you know, who knows how intimate she is on her show? You know, we don't know if she's brought that up, but let's assume that she didn't, and let's address the other question.
Actually, there's a great cover story in Washington Post on Randy Rhodes this week, the Sunday Magazine.
Oh, great.
Tremendous! You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Maron and Mark.
You're the only one that's not in the Washington Post.
We do have other shows on the network.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, Al Franken and Randy Rhodes got a little more press. That's terrific. We're here in the middle of the night, Krieger, the middle of the night, and your publicity department can't even reach out to my local affiliate where I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They've got to call it. You know what? This
you
is
know
not
what? No, that's okay. Riley, modern maturity. I'll get you.
We'll
get
you
a cover story.
All right. Modern maturity.
Yeah. AARP.
Yeah. Listen, Krieger.
Okay, I think I got to go to a meeting.
Yeah, really?
I'm going to take a meeting now.
Really? I think I'm going to go to ceramics class. Don't tell me about indulging in maturity.
Well, Keith will send you a free pass.
All right, let's address the other part of the question. There's been a lot of people talk negatively about Air America. They're like, they're only going to be around until the election. What is the long-term plan, my friend?
Great long-term plan.
Great
long-term plan. You know, somehow, let's all remember, Rush Limbaugh's done pretty good under Bush years.
Yes.
Under Clinton years, too?
No matter what happens in November, I guarantee you, What's going to need to happen at the local level is going to take years to happen.
Right. So
the real change in this country is coming about at the local level. And those are the voices that have to be heard. And those are the issues that have to be addressed long term by everybody in the media. And,
sure,
and we're going to be there talking about that. Education is going to still be on the radar screen for everybody. It's not going away.
Yeah, it's absolutely not going away. Our ideology is not going away. And like you were saying, that on the grassroots level, to redefine the Democratic Party and to save democracy in this country, it's going to take a while because they've infiltrated on all levels.
Well, it's more than just one party. It's about people, and it's about the way we all live, and it's about our communities. And,
yeah, that sounds very mature, Doug.
I know.
Yeah, sure is.
That's my stump speech.
There you go.
And we appreciate it. And thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for letting me in the booth.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go outside and breathe.
There you go.
Now he's going to go outside and fill out my resignation form.
For you.
Those resumes.
No. Who's hiring?
Thanks, Doug.
Listen, I'm available for morning radio anywhere. Yeah. I'd prefer to compete with Air America. Thanks, Doug. Thank you. Got a tremendous sense of humor, I think. We'll find out.
Yeah,
right. No, that was nice of him. He's now going back into the booth to tell. Brendan's leaving.
Outside now.
How do we solve the Marin problem? No, that was nice of him. That was interesting. We have more callers.
Let's talk to them.
We have more callers. Obviously, Doug had to run because he was frightened.
we can't answer any of your questions.
It
but call anyway.
Far enough. But here we go. Bob, how are you, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, man. What's up?
I just want to tell you that you guys have revolutionized radio. Let me be specific. Do you remember when CNN came out and everybody laughed and they said, oh, they'll never compete with the network?
Right.
Well, that's Air America today. You guys are on the leading edge.
Oh, thank you.
And the collection, two other quick comments. Let me just say this. You guys are great. Randy's great. That guy that rambles on later on during the day, Al somebody. Listen, what a great collection of talent. And you guys, your research is outstanding. Last point. You need to be there after this election. Maybe like PBS. You know, hey, I'll contribute.
Yeah.
If we had a bunch of people out there giving you a couple of bucks every month, you don't have to rely on the commercial people.
Okay.
You've got to be there. You've got to be there. Don't go away after this election.
Let me give you my home address for that money. thanks for your call, man.
Thanks, Bob. Hey.
I am taking contributions. You can send the money directly to Mark Maron, care of Air America Radio.
Do you have one of those PayPal things on your
sure
website?
Sure I do. That's what got Soupy Sales fired.
Yep.
You know, all right, kids, go get a dollar from your mommy's purse. And send.
I'm old enough to remember when he actually did that.
He was a funny cat.
But you know what? It caused such a ripple. It was incredible. I mean, they literally like walked in and yanked him off the air just about.
I know one of his sons who's a musician, deep dude, Hunt Sales out there in Austin. Hope everything's going all right for you. Let's take another call. We've got a truck driver, Tom. How are you?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
You guys were having entirely too much fun there.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I know.
One thing I wanted to mention was, or a couple things. One, on the health insurance, I had to give up my health insurance because when I turned 50, they automatically raised it to $150 a month.
That's unbelievable.
Went up to like $5.25 a month. I have a daughter. I pay for her health insurance, so I kept hers. I had to drop mine to pay for her college.
It's such a racket. You know, right when you're going to be needing it more than you would when you're a younger person, they jack you up. It's like a racket.
You know, and see, this, Mark, gets to the whole question of not just the uninsured, but the underinsured or people who have to make these kind of choices like Tom, where he has to maintain the insurance on his daughter and cut the insurance for himself just so his daughter can go to school.
It's unbelievable. If my union stuff, you know, like I'm in SAG, you know, and a lot of people, I'm getting some criticism for doing the spring commercial, which came to me completely coincidentally, you know, but, you know, believe me, I need health insurance. I get insurance through here, but before I got the job here, it's through SAG. And if my SAG lapses, if I don't make the amount of money necessary, you know, within a union to get my insurance, it costs me like almost $1,000 a month just for COBRA payments, you know, to guarantee that I have the coverage. And one thing that Kerry, you know, is promising to do is cut premiums by up to $1,000. you know, which is not for nothing. And he promises to give small businesses tax credits to cover up to 50% of premiums for low to moderate income workers. He plans to allow individuals to buy into the congressional health plan, like you were talking about, yeah, to ensure access to quality coverage, not, you know, coverage that has, you know, restrictions on everything other than dire needs, and even those are restricted. Yeah, you know, and he's also saying as well as it will provide tax credits to make it more affordable. See, this is the way a collective, this is the way a democracy should work.
Well, yeah, and it should be a you know, kind of carrot and stick approach. You do something for the people who pay the health premiums, and you do something for the employers who are also theoretically, you know, kicking in a little bit of this money as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and you're not going to make everybody completely 100% happy, but you're going to insure a lot more people. He's talking about 27 million more Americans. When we come back, Recovery Corner.
Stay on the phones, too.
Yeah, the liberal agenda and the phones at 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
There's a terrible affliction plaguing Americans. It's our number one emotional problem: the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage. At Theradate.com, we're a group of licensed and certified mental health professionals who have decided to do something about it. A revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists, is now available to the general public. Theradate.com is not a casual dating site. It does not use personality profiles or other pop psychology gimmicks. It is a matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. We ask questions the way therapists do to get to know their patients. We ask the questions that truly determine who is the best match for you. Theradate.com is now accepting free registration for a limited time. Log on to Theradate.com to try Theradate's unique matching system for free. If you're tired of being alone and truly want to bond with someone for life, log on to Theradate.com. That's Theradate.com. For a limited time, it's free to join our totally unique service.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Racial profiling remains a big problem for the United States. So reports the human rights group Amnesty International USA. They say authorities targeting people because of their racial background or religious affiliation is a deep-rooted problem in the United States. Bush post-convention bounce has bounced. That's the word from the Investor's Business Daily, which is out with a brand new poll this morning, putting John Kerry and President Bush back at dead even. Both men garnered 47% of the vote in a two-man race, 46% in the three-man contest. Saboteurs blew up a junction where multiple oil pipelines crossed the Tigris River in northern Iraq early today. U.S. military officials surveying the blast estimated it could take up to 3 to 4 days to put out the fire. And an appeals court ruled yesterday that the government can seek to execute Zacharias Moussaoui if he is convicted on terror charges, but he must be given a fair access to Al-Qaeda records. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne.
Sirius is giving away a Larson Senza sport boat.
No purchase necessary.
It's awesome.
Must be 18 or older to enter.
Hey, can I tell them?
Valid in the 48 contiguous states.
It even comes with Sirius.
It's online at 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
It's really cool.
On September 30th, 04.
Can I get a word in?
For official rules, see Sirius.com/Larson or select Larson dealer.
Boat, summer, water, fun.
Void where prohibited.
Are you done?
Yes.
Good. Why don't you get out so I can see how fast we're going?
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. As a kid, your green machine was the envy of every big wheeler on the block. But with today's gas prices, adult consumers are turning to a new green machine. When I return, we'll grow with the flow. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Yesteryear's green machines were inexpensive, non-polluting kids' toys. But today's grown-up version, hybrid cars, are dubbed green for the color of money and the environment. Hybrids are designed with a gasoline engine and an electric motor that work in concert to increase efficiency and reduce emissions. saving both money and the environment. No longer the ride of the future, Toyota and Honda hybrids are already on the road, and Ford, Dodge, GM, and Lexus will soon grow with the flow. Yes, with a little insight into hybrids, you can escape gas lines and save the earth. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Yes, it's 33 past the hour. Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Probably one of my last few days of work. I'm kidding. Mark Riley is here. Dan Pashman, son of Lyndon Lewis Pashman, New Jersey, is in the studio. He's
hello.
He's got the angle on health care. We're going to get into that in a minute. But, you know, speaking of health care, my name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering counsel to my temporary sponsor, George W. Well, George, today Kitty Kelly's book comes out, and there's an upside to that. You know how hard it is for people like us to take inventory. Well, in your case, Kitty Kelly's done it for you. If you're having trouble remembering some of that stuff, all you have to do is peruse the index. I know the past gets hazy. These days it's just vague romantic memories of you and Laura sitting in a dorm room breaking down a kilo of Colombian gold in a dime bag. Ah, Colombian gold. God, remember that stuff? Love blossomed over a triple beam scale and a box of baggies. But I digress. A lot of the most damaging revelations in Kelly's book come from your former sister-in-law, Sharon Bush. Supposedly she started spilling the beans over drinks with Kitty Kelly. Of course, since the book came out, she's received some visits from family, friends, and now she's heavily into denial. Drinking? Denial? Does this sound all familiar to you at all, George? Don't look at Sharon's indiscretions as a betrayal. See them for what they are. A cry for help. Maybe it's time to get her into a meeting. I think she's reaching out to you, George. How does sponsor sound? Though it's not really appropriate for a guy to sponsor a woman, since he's kind of family. I mean, at least he can do is show up for her, all right? That's all I'm saying. It's promotion. It's not promotion. It's attraction rather than promotion, but maybe a call. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbows. You got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow. You're peeing on today. Think, think, think. Get to a meeting and help your former sister-in-law, George W. Help her. It's an opportunity for you to help. Do you know what that feels like? Thanks. Anyways. Look at this. More polls. IBB, TIPP poll. That's big stuff, right, Dan?
If it has that many letters, it's got to be important.
John Kerry, George Bush. Dead heat. A dead heat. This is beautiful. The hate bounce is wearing off. The anger and hate is dissipating from what they did to this city. There's still a smoking hole of hate over at Madison Square Garden from what Zell Miller left there. You were underground there. You were under. You did the big security breach. That's right.
I was. That's right. Zell Miller was spewing that very hatred just about 23 hours after I left the understage area.
After you were underneath where Zell Miller would be spewing that hate. But let's talk. All right. Let's do this healthcare thing again. You know about it. Maybe let's see if there's. Do we have a healthcare call? You used to work in insurance industry. The problem. Okay. Here we go. Mike in New Jersey. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Mike. Oh, Mike.
Yes, sir.
What do you got? What's going on? Enlighten us.
Healthcare, for instance, like in New Jersey, you know, where New York dumps its garbage.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. I live in Jersey.
I live in Jersey, too. That's why I know it. No.
We got nothing to do with that.
The doctors, for instance, sort of like a quasi-public organization where the doctors police themselves. You can have doctors, and I'm not casting aspersions against all doctors, where they sort of protect themselves. You could have incompetent doctors going back into the operating room after, you know, having egregious actions against them.
Okay.
That cause malpractice. And this sort of helps to bump up malpractice premiums, not only for the doctor in question, but for doctors all across the board. Also, in the insurance industry, the insurance companies make money in two ways, premiums and investments.
Mm-hmm.
And if they lose money in the stock market, they'll come back for a rate increase as if, you know, the premiums don't cover their costs.
And blame it on malpractice.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
You know, they'll come back for, as they say, if they don't make their rate of return,
right,
whether it's based on premiums, underwriting, or investments, they'll come back for a rate increase. And, you know, they have the government over a barrel. They don't give a rate increase. They become insolvent. And either then you have to spread the risk over the other insurance companies or the government has to take over the risk.
So they're protected by the government.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Mike. So that's basically what you once told me before. But what he was saying, essentially, you can't, if you have a doctor that's screwed up and then is reintegrated back into the system and his malpractice insurance goes up and the idea that he jacks up malpractice for everybody, in order to put a cap on that stuff, you would be punishing good doctors as well. So there's really no solution to that particular part of the problem.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that there's no solution. I would say that the solution is not, the solution is not to cap jury awards. The solution instead is to, first of all, police doctors better. And police lawyers better. The bad doctors out there and the bad lawyers out there are the minority in both cases. There are a few bad apples in both groups, and both groups should police their own better.
Right. Right.
Okay. That's one solution to dealing with bad doctors.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Another solution is, look, we all have car insurance. There are various types of insurance out there. Many of those types of insurance are regulated.
Yes.
Right? Your car insurance could not go up by 25% in 1 year, could it, Mark Riley?
Unless you live in Jersey.
Well, maybe you live in Jersey. In most states, it could not increase by that much because it's regulated to some degree by the government.
Yeah.
And but there is no such regulation for medical malpractice insurance. And as a result, these companies are free to jack up rates by huge percentages at virtually a moment's notice whenever their investments go sour.
I get it.
And not because of anything an individual doctor has done, then.
No, and not, right. It has nothing to do with malpractice.
So there are solutions. They just aren't the solutions some people like to hear.
Ginger in England, how are you?
Hi, Ginger.
What's up?
Hi. Oh, a lot of things. The sun, you know.
Oh, we haven't talked to you in a while. We thought you abandoned us.
No, not in a long time. I've been working on my master's and stuff, too.
All right.
I'm glad you like the Batman story.
It's
on the front page of every paper here.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, isn't it hysterical? You should have seen the video.
Oh, I guess John Larson did see it. Murray Pants Larson was talking about this morning. Yeah, he said the
picture. You know, the interesting thing about that is that they treated him so kindly.
Yeah.
They treated him like a normal human being.
Right.
And if you watch how the protesters were treated at the RNC, they were treated as terrorists or, you know, thugs or criminals.
Yeah, well,
you know,
maybe
they grab the code pink people and just beat the heck out of them.
Absolutely. Maybe if they did dress like superheroes, they would have been intimidated.
Yeah, right?
Well, Mayor said she wanted to dress up as Wonder Woman. So.
Mayor, of course, is one of our bloggers.
Yes.
you're sort of
bringing in the blogging community
now. Thanks for calling, Ginger. It's great to talk to you. We've got Professor Tsurumi on the phone who's going to address, I guess he's making news today, about the Bush National Guard service and his sort of speculations, and obviously always great to talk to him. So we'll be back with him after this on Air America Radio.
He ruled TV for 4 years on SNL. Starred in unforgettable films like his serious radio show rocks the nation. So what's the next incredible step for shooting star Jim Brewer? Opening for Incubus in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Serious road trips along with Jim to bring you his show and all the stuff that happens before. Jim Brewer, unleashed, unwashed, and probably a little drunk. Friday night, 6 Eastern, Sirius Rod Dog, 147.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Have a good day, dear.
Your mom always told you to take good care of your stuff. And she was right, as usual. It's a fact that regular car maintenance improves gas mileage and performance. Plus, regular maintenance can reduce traffic congestion due to breakdowns and help reduce pollution. So, keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA. Mom would be so proud.
Hey,
Hey, this is G-Lo, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power. One place where your voice counts, where you can make things change or make a difference. See, it's the voting booth, and it only takes a few minutes to register to vote. So what's your excuse? Get all the information you need at theheadcount.org. Yeah, your vote counts. We're serious. Check, check, check it out.
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
The 2000 election was decided by only 537 votes. Your vote makes a difference. Take the first step, register. Go to justvote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the instructions. It's your democracy. Make it work. Justvote.org.
1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
Past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
You got it.
All right. Morning's edition, Air America Radio. It's been a pretty fun, pretty fun morning for the end of the world.
Yes.
Right now, from he's here in Manhattan. He's a teacher. He's a professor here at
Baruch College.
Baruch College. He used to be a professor of business at Harvard. He taught George W. Bush. And he's in the news today. Let's ask him why. Good morning, Professor Tsurumi. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I see I'm seeing you here in the news. What? Give us the news, Professor Tsurumi.
Well, partly because of the your talk show and when what I've been reading about George Bush's.
Yeah.
And partly because of that the Kelly's book, which quotes me. About his Vietnam Day draft dodging and everything else.
Yeah.
And so the reason I called you is that I have the new piece of the evidence that I was right when I called him on your radio.
Yeah.
Pathological liar, if you recall.
Yes.
All right. NBC's Today Show is also chasing that story.
Yes.
So, what I've been telling the piece of information is not that the Kitty Kelly didn't include her book.
Yeah.
Not only his draft dodging, you know, just asking his friends to, father's friends to simply just put him at the head of the order long waiting list.
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit because our listeners don't always know that. So you had a conversation with a young George W. Bush about his National Guard service and what transpired in that conversation.
Okay, it was sometime end of October, early November 1973. And the two important topics at the time among draftable age students is the Vietnam and the civil rights movement. And at the Harvard Business School and here at Baruch, too, I always try to chat up students informally, even outside the classroom, like walking back to the rooms together or library to get to know each other. So I saw George and walking in his National Texas Guard jacket. What do you call it?
It's his bomber jacket.
Yeah, bomber jacket or something. So at the draftable age, so I thought, well, George, how about your... the draft. What did you do with it? And he said, I finished in Texas National Guard. And I said, lucky you. But how did you get in? Because I heard it's a long waiting list. And he said, well, Daddy has a good friend.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I said, well, again, lucky you. Then I asked him whether he's for the Vietnam War. You know, at the time. And then he was fanatically for it.
Oh.
So I said, George, it's a hypocrisy that you didn't want to go to Vietnam. You did all these things to avoid it, but you don't mind for others to keep on dying and fighting in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And that is hypocrisy.
How did he respond to that?
Well, he's smug, famous smug, and he suddenly realized that some people don't agree with him.
Yeah.
So those things been going around again, and remember, I have been revealing these things long before the current controversy now.
Sure. And so do you believe those memos? Those are legitimate memos, I believe, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
But NBC Today Show's producer called the White House to comment on my revealed so-called all the facts and everything else.
Yeah.
And he expected that George Bush would make ordinary politicians' denial, that I don't remember having that kind of conversation.
Sure.
That's expected.
Yeah. So
the reason I called you about this is the way he responded personally.
Oh.
That inquiry was extraordinary. He said he doesn't recall having me ever as a professor.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, really?
Yes.
That's so wild. How long was he in your class for?
For 6 months, 2 to 3 times a year. And a week.
Wow, he really did.
90 minutes each.
Oh, my God. He really did have a drinking problem.
Must have been.
That was a problem. But that's what... And this NBC producer was taken back.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. You called him a pathological liar, but he is.
Yeah, of course he is.
Being a pathological liar is make himself believe in the easily verifiable lies.
Which NBC producer were you talking to?
David Gillens at the Today Show.
Okay, so
the president says he has no memory of ever taking your class. Is that what he said?
And much worse. First, he said he didn't have me
as a professor.
Wow. So that's two lies.
Did he remember he went to Harvard?
I think so, but the. So the type of denial is then is politically, of course, it's clumsy.
Yeah.
But that he makes himself believe in all these categorical lies.
Sure. It's that's why he's so convincing. Is he's pathological?
Yeah. Right. Incredible.
And the
is NBC going to report this, Professor Tsarungi?
I don't know when he runs some section on the Kitty Kelly. They might.
Wow, it sounds pretty important to me.
And last week, finally, CNN ran my 2 minutes interview.
Oh, good. How'd that feel?
Briefly. Oh, I guess at least they're telling the audience.
Well, it's great because I'll tell you one thing, Professor. Our listeners have become very big fans of yours.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We actually got requests for transcripts from you, so we got to get you back in the studio as soon as possible.
Yes.
One more point.
Okay.
I've been telling my students. Now, again, the Swift bought liars starting up again.
Yeah, they got another ad.
And this time, they're attacking John Kerry's anti-Vietnam War, the unpatriotic and others.
Yes.
And these are the same guys who called John McCain as a traitor because he somehow just collaborated with the North Vietnamese for extra balls of rice or something.
Right, yeah, oh, yeah.
All these liars.
Yeah, they're the worst. They've been carrying a grudge for 30 years.
The point I reply to my students another is no. The anti-Vietnam, the oppositions, rising public oppositions that ended essentially the United States' involvement in Vietnam is the finest hour of America's democracy.
That's terrific.
And in a democracy, just public citizens' oppositions to their government's gravely erroneous policies, the height of patriotism.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
And more importantly, because of John Kerry and other anti-war Vietnam leaders and oppositions and people, John McCain and all the POWs were able to come home.
Absolutely, yeah.
And no more Americans and Vietnamese died.
Yep.
And more importantly, those POWs include some of those Swift boat liars.
Oh, really?
Who were in the POWs or being quoted on the Swift boat TV screen.
Unbelievable.
That's fascinating.
The gall of them. Thank you so much.
They said, why do you think you're able to come home?
Exactly, because of what those guys did.
Did, yeah, true.
And thank you, Professor.
America's finest hour.
Absolutely, I agree with you. We'll talk to you soon. We got to go, Professor Tsurumi. Great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. I love that guy. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Are Americans better off than we were 4 years ago? In a new national poll conducted by Mother Jones Magazine, a strong majority of registered voters from across the country claim that the United States has gotten pretty seriously off on the wrong track. And half of those surveyed voted for George W. Bush in the 2000 presidential election. Take the poll yourself and view the complete results at MotherJones.com. Also at MotherJones.com, your daily mojo. Every day, the editors of Mother Jones scour the web for the day's most important stories and post them for you online. Mother Jones, strange name for a magazine, but take a look. See what you think.
Crimes Against Nature, a new book by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sets the record straight on George W. Bush, corporate greed, and the plunder of America. Crimes Against Nature makes the case that the administration has taken corporate cronyism to unprecedented heights, threatening our health, our national security, and our democracy. Al Franken calls Crimes Against Nature a passionate and devastatingly written attack on the Bush administration. Crimes Against Nature, the national bestseller by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a HarperCollins book. Now available at bookstores and online at airamericaradio.com.
Oh, what a whimper. Sean Hannity.
This is Addicts Anonymous. How can I help you?
Well, I'm addicted to Sean Hannity.
Sir, Sean Hannity.
I got a big problem. I'm listening to him on Sirius ABC News and Talk. And then
sir.
I listen at night to Hannity and Combs on Fox News. And then on the weekends, I catch repeats of the shows.
Sir, listening to Sean Hannity is not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Sirius Satellite Radio has all the Sean Hannity you need to feed your addiction. Catch him on ABC News and Talk 140 and Fox News 105.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
The cat. Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
Ending 55 past the hour, morning's edition, Mark Maron, Mark Riley.
Yes.
We had just talked to Professor Tsurumi.
Yoshi Tsurumi from Baruch College.
Yes, when we talked to him about, he was President Bush's Harvard professor when Bush was at Harvard Business School. We asked him to grade Bush's performance at the Republican National Convention. Remember this? Professor, what's the grade?
The grade is F.
And he was talking about what it really means to be patriotic in this country, which is if your government is not representing you properly, and you think that, it is, certainly if it's a criminal situation, that, you know, you should rise up and protest. And that is what patriotism looks like, not the belligerent type of nationalism that erupts in this country when this country is afraid. And tomorrow we have Michael Parenti on the show to talk about essentially that, about super patriotism is what he calls it, about how people will question people who question the government in times of national emergency, which in this day and age is ridiculous, given what the government is guilty of, and certainly this administration, but other administrations in the past.
Have people forgotten that this country was founded by people who questioned the government?
Yeah, it's unbelievable if you just believe what the president says. If you're that lazy and that ridiculously shallow and stupid. Jim Loftus, my buddy, will also be on the show tomorrow. He's one of my oldest friends. He's on the bus with Kerry in the press situation. He's part of the. He's not in the press, but he's part of the campaign.
He facilitates the press.
Man, it'd be good to talk to him. I always like talking. I talk to him more now than I have in a long time. Here's our liberal agenda for today. Write him down. Get sensitivity training for Donald Trump. Have him change your fire to you can now explore other options with your life. Two, for the 20th year in a row, petition the NFL to take the violence out of football by forming a National Touch Football League. Three, have Kitty Kelly's book added to Reagan Library just to piss off Republicans. I think we can do that. Four, send Bill Clinton only softcore movies during his recovery to minimize chance of heart complications. Five, investigate KFC's coleslaw suppliers to make sure they're not abusing cabbages. Professor, what's your grade?
The grade is F.
Yes, yes. Tomorrow. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, we're going to check in with the Kerry campaign. Get a report from the road from Kerry's man on the front lines, our buddy Jim Loftus. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Maron.
You too, Riley.